Comic Timing is a member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 37 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levitsy, and discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. It has been a very, very long time since we've had an absolutely random episode of Comic Timing, and I say it's about damn time today. Brent Cassina and Juan de Guadalupe de Jesus join us for this randomness, and it's plenty of fun to be had. And yes, his name is now de Guadalupe because I say so. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 37 of Comic Timing. Yeah, we're finally done with episode 36. It only took us three parts, but we are indeed done. And we are joined today by that guy who never seems to leave, but however, his roommate did. It's Brent Cassina.
I'm petitioning for a co-host for a position, but he won't let me have it, so maybe I'll start a poll on the forum or something.
I'm my own co-host. I'm sorry. Ian Levinstein with my co-host, Ian Levinstein. How you doing, Ian? I'm doing great, Ian. Welcome to the show, Ian. Thank you, Ian. All right.
All right.
Hey. But, yeah, in general, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? What's going on? And this is going to be a pretty much editless episode, so I'm warning you guys, if it sounds like we're not edited, it's because we're not edited, just to let you guys know, okay?
Ian promised he would put out a show within a week of recording it this time.
Yes.
Unlike a couple shows.
Exactly, okay? Because that Steve Bryant stuff was recorded at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, so it was about a month ago.
Exactly. And yet, we were still, by the time we were done releasing that, Raging Bullets was still on the same episode, so, I mean, there's no excuse for that.
But Geeks Unite has released two episodes.
That's right. Yeah. And on the other line there, we have Juan de Jesus of Geeks Unite.
Exactly. What's up, Juan? By himself this time. No ref.
Yes,
no ref.
A co-host can go off by himself. Could I be the new founding member of the Teen Titans for co-hosts? Brent Cassina joined the Teen Titans for co-host.
I can't join. I'm not a co-host, but I'll try to wedge in there as a co-host. See how I introduced you instead of letting Ian do it? I just stepped on his toes and shit. It's probably really mad.
What I want to know is, since one of you guys Teen Titans, I know you're young, all right? I know you're young, but you're not that young.
Well, you know what? That's Shane's fault. No, it wasn't Shane. It was Tony, Mobile Home on the Forums.
Yeah.
Geeks Unite is the Teen Titans to Sean and Jim's JLA. Now, I don't know which JLA, so I can't tell you. Is it if it's the Detroit League? That's not saying much.
You're Justice League Elite. That's what you are.
Could I be Greg? No, I don't like that bowl haircut. Could I be Booster? Because I'm the only one still alive.
Yes, exactly. But hey, let's not give away any spoilers for 52. That's a couple episodes down the line here. Right?
Actually, I haven't read issue 52 yet. My shipment comes in tomorrow.
You know what happens in issue 52? You pretty much got it right on the mark anyway, so I'm not really like going to give anything away. So,
all right,
literally. No. This is what happens for real. No joke. No, this is what happens at the end of 52, number 52. The entire universe implodes, and the only one that's left is Skeets eating the motherfucking Phantom Zone.
And Iron Man's a douche.
Iron Man is a douche.
For all those people who don't know, that was a huge inside joke string together. You know.
Yes. Just go back to previous Comic Timings and you'll know all about that. But yeah, this is going to be a very random episode of Comic Timing. Just to let everybody know that, okay? We have no specific topic. It's just like the first time Brent was ever on, which kind of says something right there. The first time Brent was ever on, we had no straight topic. We just talked about random news stories and random stuff that's been going on. And that's sort of how Comic Timing started. So we're going back to our youth here, as it were. And next week, we're actually going to have the religion episode. We have to postpone that for a week because, well, one of our guests doesn't have the phone right now. So that's kind of bad. So, and tomorrow, I'm going to see Spider-Man 3, so we couldn't record it tomorrow. So we'll just talk about random stuff. So I think everybody's fine with that. So meanwhile, here we are, okay? And the first thing we're going to discuss is Iron Man. Not being a douche. We're talking about the movie. Now, Who here has seen the picture? I'm sure everybody here has seen the picture, right? Why he's seen the picture, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Brent's not back yet, but he's seen the picture, okay? Because he's BRB at the moment, but I know he's seen the picture. What have you thought about that picture that leaked? For those of you who do not know, it didn't exactly leak either. It's on Newsarama. For those of you who want to see it, I'll link to it in show notes. But we have a shot of what the Iron Man armor is going to look like in the Iron Man movie. And it's very old-fashioned. It looks pretty much like his current armor, only slightly, but it's not much of a departure, as it were.
Yeah, so, it's like the pre-extremist armor.
Exactly, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Your take on the armor. We'll start with you, Brent.
I really like it. The Mark I armor that they showed, the gray armor, was kind of, I don't know, I liked it old school, but it's still updated, like the animated Iron Man armor.
Sure, yeah.
It was a little more updated, and then now this new armor that they're going to have for the movie is just awesome, and it looks entirely like what he's wearing in the comics now, which really pleases me.
Yeah, and I mean, they went for a updated look, and at the same time, it's classic. You know, I mean, it looks enough like that armor that he wore forever, you know, back in like the 70s and 80s.
Well, the shoulder pads thing is like what is wearing kind of now, but I think the classic part comes from the circle instead of like the Pentagon that he's had.
Exactly, yeah.
So the circle unibeam and stuff, because the Pentagon kind of reminds me of Superman, you know, when you're looking at it, so.
Yeah.
It's a good little change.
Plus, he's had that since the 90s, and that 90s armor, all right, some people love it, I know, but that is one of the fugliest pieces of armor.
Is that the life armor that they redid for Heroes Reborn? Because that's ugly.
No, that's ugly. That's really damn ugly. What I'm talking about is the one from the 90s that he wore for a while there when he first came back to life, and the one he wore in like all the Marvel vs. Capcom games.
Oh, that with the spiky, like the V's thing?
Yeah.
He had like two spikes on top of his head, looked like horns.
Yeah, and the face like looked like he had like almost like, I don't know, like the face looked very, very different on that one. I remember that. Like it barely made him look like he had like eyes.
I don't know. I saw
you mean the one from like the animated cartoon.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, I can see where you come from. Well, the one with this armor here has like the cheekbone thing that the current armor does, mm-hmm. So it makes him look a little more human.
Yeah, but I like the circle. That actually does make it better for me because again, that's more classic of an Iron Man look there. Juan, do you prefer the circular in the chest, or do you like the octagonal thing?
You know, Iron Man has really been the favorite of a character of mine, just because you know, he's like Bruce Wayne light to me for some reason. I'll qualify that later on. But the circle does give that classic touch that everyone could relate to, because you know, like unless you've been reading comics, you're not really up on the armor designs.
Yeah,
you know, so. I think the armor looks beautiful, though.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, it looks like the type of armor that's going to transfer well to both CGI and actual, you know, like, in-suit armor with the actual actor inside of it, which is important, okay? Because you can't look like you're CGI all the time, or else, well, then you're a CGI movie. And this is not going to be a CGI movie. This is going to have, you know, like, drunk alcoholics with mustaches. So,
for Donnie Jr.
Favreau has said that they're going to try and do this as practical as they can. You know, the armor's not going to be entirely CGI every time you see it.
Yeah.
So, which gives it hope. I mean, with all the stuff that they can do with blue screen now, I mean, Superman Returns and I was trying to think of what other, you know, Lord of the Rings blue screen and all that. You know, good blue screen, not fake blue screen like Star Wars 1 through 3.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really having a hope that they can do this correctly. Just have them in the Iron Man armor. Do them on a rig, film them against a green screen, and have that be it for everything. You know, unless it's, like,
maybe,
impossible.
Maybe for some of the more intricate maneuvers.
And close-ups and stuff, you know. Or where he fills the entire frame with his whole armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. But,
Did you see the picture where he's forging the Mark I armor?
Yeah.
You actually see the chest piece that's keeping him alive.
It's, like, glowing through his shirt. It's really cool.
It does look like someone on the forum made this joke. It does look like a breath control dispenser, y'all. I forgot who made the joke, so that joke isn't mine. But, you know, if you're listening, you know, congrats. You made it on the show.
Yes, yes. Congratulations, because we all needed to hear that, because if we hadn't, we'd be very, very sad.
It's true. It's true, though. Yeah. What do you want me to say?
Okay, right,
but
I'm looking at it, they released. Yeah,
this...
I'm looking at it right now. It does kind of look like a birth canal, yeah.
Right. Okay, oh, but the one of the Mark III armors are calling it.
On Monday.
All right, the one that they're calling the Mark III armor, do you think that's like a digital painting, like a concept thing, or is it like a, you think that's the actual prop that they're using?
I think that's a concept artwork.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Fusion on the CGS forum works for ILM, and he's like working on it right now, but that's all he can tell us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just say that right now. That's all he can tell us is that he's working on it, so he won't get in trouble.
Yeah.
He said, to his understanding, it's a mix of both.
Okay.
Which I'm interpreting as this might be the prop armor that they're using, and that, you know, they photoshopped the gray background and then the glows and stuff, but because it's so small, I don't know, it just, I still think it's a concept type thing.
I think that it's as close to the real thing as we're going to get for now, because obviously they're not filming yet, really. I mean, you know, they're doing like the beginning filming, of course. But, you know, I mean, we're not getting to any real Iron Man scenes yet in the movie, from what I've seen. Because, I mean, we're getting to the, like I don't know, like preliminary shots, but not any of the real, like, action shots yet. So it wouldn't make any sense to really see the final product at this point.
Yeah. I'm glad they put this out here. Because, I mean, I was pretty happy with the first armor that they showed, the gray one. And then the Mark I armor, and then him forging it. And I thought that was all we were going to get for months and months.
Yeah.
But for them to follow up with the red and gold so quickly just surprised me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I mean, we needed to see the red and gold, because we needed to see what the hell was going to look like. And
well, we were all, like, teething at the tit for it, you know? We were like, okay, we see the gray. Let's see the real one. Let's see the real one. When are we going to see the real one? And I think it shows something about the direction this film's going, is that, you know, we're going to appease the fans, we're going to show you the armor ahead of time. This may be all we get for a while, but at least we know that they're going in a direction that's similar to what's in the comics now.
Mm. Could I ask this question? Who saw the animated Iron Man movie?
I did.
I've seen parts, but not the full.
Do you think they're going to go with that concept that he's been designing this armor for a while? Because that seems more plausible, because one, the type of war you're in, to create such a sophisticated piece of armor in that little time, that takes a lot of foresight. And I know it's Tony Stark, but do you think that story would lend itself to the movie, or do you think they're going to go with the classic origin?
Well, what I did like that part where they said, you know, he had been building it for a while. In the animated Iron Man movie, if you haven't seen it, Ian,
yeah.
He's kidnapped, Rhodey's kidnapped with him, and they say, build this armor for... build a bomb or something for these terrorists.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And who and why they are is not really important to this discussion, but they say build it. So he builds it, and then he tells Rhodey, like, at the end, Rhodey's like, how'd you think of this so quick? And he said, oh, I've been planning it in my head for a while. And then when they get back to the States, he already has a whole bunch of armors ready to be used.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I do like the fact that when he was captured in captivity or whatever, he had it in his mind,
mm-hmm.
so that it's just applying the concepts and stuff rather than thinking about it.
Okay.
That way the passage of time isn't that long.
I just think it's more plausible.
It's more plausible that too. But I don't want him to go back to the States and have like 5 red and gold armors already. I want him to work on it even more because he likes
happen.
The idea so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I think that you know, we're going to have that armor there, and there's no way in hell he's going to have that much that fast. There has to be some sort of evolution as the movie goes on, you know, I mean, like, have one part of the movie take place at one time, have another part of the movie take place at another time, you know, just, you can't have them have, you know, 4 or 5 armors right off the bat. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
also, it's like that whole Spider-Man coming of age, getting your powers thing.
Yeah.
Maybe as he keeps making changes to the armor, the fights will get a little bit easier, he'll get more accustomed to it.
Uh-huh.
And maybe, you know, you'll see the evolution of the armor that way.
I can just see him building this gray one in this forge that he's working on in the picture that got released, you know, and just, you know, working in it and being like, you know, I'm a clumbering idiot in this thing. I got to make it better if I'm going to use this again and again.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because, I mean, it's not exactly a practical armor, the gray one.
Yeah.
Mm. No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Could you imagine if today Or better yet, in Civil War, he was wearing the gray armor.
He would just look totally out of place.
Yeah.
No, and not even just that. He would have lost. Because, like, one dude would have just, like, ran up to him, like, on the other side, and just smashed his head in, end of story. That's it.
You know, you could just knock him, like, over and he won't be able to get up.
Yeah. Exactly. You gotta have a practical suit of armor. And the gray armor is not a practical suit of armor. It's a suit of armor, but it's a literally, like, a last resort sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And with the red and gold, that takes time and effort, and you can tell that he's looking for something that will last him a long time there. And I'm glad you brought up Spider-Man, actually, because this is really, I guess, the closest we've actually come to the comic book look for an armor or a costume period since Spider-Man's costume to me, because obviously Superman Returns, we had a different style Superman suit. Batman Begins, we had a different style Batman suit. With Spider-Man, we had basically the classic red and blues, only they changed what the webs looked like and that sort of stuff a little bit. But it was basically
like
the same thing.
Stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, if it's still
but I think that has to do with the type of character that they're portraying there. Peter Parker is a normal person. You know, he has normal body type. He's very lean muscled. Yeah. You know, it's any kid in Queens. With Superman, this guy has a six-pack. He's built. Not everyone is built that way. And, you know, a lot of these characters, when they were originally designed, were never meant to be filmed. Mm-hmm. It's like the whole Wolverine and the yellow spandex. It doesn't work for film.
Oh, you're damn right it doesn't.
Yeah, and the Batman difference thing, like, you know, Bruce Wayne is he's so rich, it doesn't make sense for me that he would go out in spandex with a bulletproof vest underneath. I think he would invest in something better, you know.
Of course.
And it makes sense for the film. So that doesn't bother me that as much as maybe a different Iron Man would.
I think it's a type of character. Like, maybe Marvel characters lend themselves more to the real world because it's always been set in New York in a more real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to Metropolis or Gotham City, where you need this overhyped character with musculature and this almost godlike figure looking down upon the people. Wow, Marvel superheroes are more, we're the people looking out for each other.
Yeah, and you know what, now that I think about it though, if there's one costume I'd actually like to see transfer over Wolverine-wise, I'd actually really like to see in his prequel the Earth Tones.
The brown and yellow?
Yeah, the brown and yellow. Gold. I'd love to see him at one point wearing those, because I mean,
how would they do that though?
Maybe even without the mask, just the suit. Maybe just like a shirt or something.
Yeah, yeah, you could have something like that, or just in general, you know, have him with something. You don't have to wear the mask part of it, okay? Because that's the difficult part to do. But I mean, have him be in a suit where he feels more earthy, that sort of thing, and that would make me happy. Because obviously, you know, this would be a flashback thing, so it could be even in his like secret agent days or something like that. I don't know where they're going with it exactly, but to me, it would sort of make sense where he's wearing something like that if he wants to be stealthy. You know, like, perhaps in, like, a jungle environment, perhaps, you know, wearing the brown and tans would work a hell of a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what they could do there. But and actually, speaking of which, what do you guys think about the news that, at least this is not exactly confirmed yet, but it's almost close to it, that the Magneto and Wolverine movies are pretty much, you know, going to happen now. And from the looks of things, we are going to get a Magneto-less Magneto movie, as it were, because, well, Sir Ian McKellen will not be playing Magneto. At least
well, he can't, because it's the story of his development into Magneto.
Well, however, they originally were saying that they were toying around the idea of using that technology they used in X-Men 3 to de-age.
God.
They were considering using that, but I guess that...
It was nice for a little bit, that technology that came out, but not for a whole movie. For a whole movie, and even for that entire sequence, it got old at the end, and they looked too rubbery for me.
So it just wouldn't work practically for a full movie?
Exactly.
Okay.
I hope they begin it with Ian McKellen's telling his tale or something.
Yeah.
Because I can see Magneto doing that.
Oh, certainly, yeah. And I could see
and
him...
And then flashback.
Yeah, I could see him actually narrating the entire thing, even.
But has anybody seen Hannibal Rising?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Oh.
Is there any like trace of Anthony Hopkins in there or no?
Maybe in the portrayal of the character, but
his voice isn't in it or anything like that.
No, not really. Or I could have just been paying attention to the girl next to me.
Okay, so you're not really a reliable source.
Well,
what I would like to see them with Magneto, though, is just to have Ian McKellen there at the beginning and the end.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. and maybe a voiceover narration from time to time.
So you want him, like, sitting in a cell like he was perhaps in X-Men 1 and X-Men 2, or X-Men 2 in that, like, white cell, and, like, a little bit of a voiceover, and then you go into his story, and then you, like, end with him in there. And you could even have, like, see, now I'm thinking in my head how they could possibly do this. Like, they tell a story where he's, like, looking back on his life, and then you could even have it, like, end with, you know, that scene from X-Men 2 where Patrick Stewart wheels himself in to play chess or something like that.
Yeah, and you could say, and you know the rest.
Yes.
And just leave it off at that.
Okay, we did the movie. That's
it. Should de-age him in that movie like they did in the comics? Mm. Or no?
I don't know, really. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, you got to go with a young, you know, a young Magneto. So obviously that's what you got to do. But I don't know. The idea that they've been toying around apparently is that they're going to have Xavier and Magneto meet in this movie as like soldiers or something, and that's not anywhere near the way it happened in the comics.
Xavier doesn't strike me as a soldier ever.
He's a
the way they've played him in the movies or in the comics.
Exactly. I mean, when you're a major pacifist like Xavier is, I don't know what the hell you're thinking about with soldiers. But I mean, I don't know what the hell's going to happen here with this movie. But I'm not nearly as excited about that as I would be for, say, an X-Men 4.
See, X-Men 4, I get excited about it just to see who's involved.
Without Brett Ratner, I agree with that fully, Juan. Yes, but. Well, I mean, there was that rumor that they wanted to try and get Joss Whedon to do X-Men 4.
He would want to write the script himself, and it would just take too fucking long. I mean, Wonder Woman proved that.
We can wait 5 years for an X-Men 4. I don't really care.
Yeah, no, hold on. I think it'll be different with X-Men because he knows the material a lot better than what he knew about Wonder Woman. But like, he didn't know the source material that well, and what he was producing wasn't up to snuff. And if it, you know, it's really hard to write Wonder Woman in the comics, nevertheless, for the movies. And with the X-Men, since he's been writing them, it might be a little easier.
Okay.
Well, that's true. And also the fact is, I mean, with Buffy, he's been writing X-Men since Buffy, really. I mean, a lot of people have always said that, so.
I don't know, but what will he do? Will he do the Astonishing X-Men? Will he change up the lineup? Let's be honest, the three X-Men movies have been Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, from the sounds of things, they want to do a young X-Men. They want to do something along the lines of, say, like, you know, like, have Kitty Pryde be on the team, and have maybe, maybe have Gambit come on in. Translation, Sawyer comes off the island to play Gambit. And, seriously, you can't have anybody else play Gambit. I mean, this last week's episode of Lost, not to spoil anything, but that entire episode, he was Gambit.
Pretty much.
Literally. I mean, you can't have anybody else play him. And, I mean, you know, have Colossus be in it. You know, have the young X-Men be in it. Iceman.
Sean Ashmore, I've really liked him all three films and thought X2 was really good because he was in it, you know, more prominently.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And his brother, his twin brother is in Smallville now as Jimmy Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody knew that, but that's his twin brother. It's not him.
Oh, really?
But his twin brother's doing a great job as Jimmy Olsen, the one that was on tonight, Noir or something.
Uh-huh.
It was like a black and white flashback. It was really a dream sequence, but he was pretty good in that, too. It's basically a Jimmy Olsen episode for half of it. So, you know, if his brother didn't want to do it, he could do it. You know, twins, right?
Identical twins, or?
They look really similar. I think they're identical.
Okay.
But they're, you know, they look different enough, or maybe it's the hair, that one can't really pass for the other unless you don't know them.
Well,
I will tell you something. In all that movies, his is the performance that escalates and gets better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see more of him on screen. Mm-hmm. And that icing up at the end, it was worth me sitting through the entire movie. And Magneto needlessly pulling across the bridge just to make a statement.
All right, look, we all know how I think about X-Men 3. I didn't think it was that bad. All right, let's not get back into this argument all over again, all right? So, one thing I do want to see if they do make an X-Men 4, dear God, give Jubilee some frickin' lines. All right?
She was in one of them, but...
She was in all three of them, dude.
No, it's the same girl.
They had different people playing her, I think, but I'm not sure about that. But
Because didn't they have a Kitty? I thought they had Kitty Pryde in the second one. They had some girl who walked through walls.
She was in the first one.
She was in the first,
in the first or second one, and she was like in the deleted scene of it. And then they went to this young girl.
Three Kitty Prydes, three movies.
And three Jubilees as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, let's settle on a Jubilee, please, and give her some lines. That would be very nice.
And let's not have her be like Psylocke.
Yes.
Who never had a name.
Oh,
did you hear her utter her name in the third movie?
Well, don't even get me started on
the hairstyle.
Oh, please. Well, look. It's not even just Psylocke, okay?
That Callisto.
Thank you,
who is the black girl? Was that
Callisto?
Callisto?
That was Callisto, dude.
Does Callisto run fast? I don't think so.
No, she doesn't. And that drove me off the wall.
I was like, how is that Callisto? I don't remember Callisto being fucking Quicksilver.
Well, she is now.
I guess not. All right.
Yeah.
Isn't she dead now? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, true.
All right. So what about a Wolverine movie?
Wolverine movie? Well, I kind of already said it, so. I mean, what would you guys like to see in a Wolverine movie?
You'd want to see Samurai. Jackman as a prequel?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see a prequel. Silver Samurai, I could see that, I guess. But, you know, I mean, I'd like to see either Japan or his days as, like, in covert ops. Either way.
Nothing by Daniel Way. Do not use that as source material. It is pure crap.
No, I think they could do the Claremont Miller Wolverine. That'll make a pretty good one.
That'll work.
I could see that. I could see that, yeah. No pirates, no Shadowland, or whatever the hell they called it.
Well,
I was so confused.
I recently read Peter David's collection of stories he did in, I believe it was Marvel Presents Wolverine. They came up with a trade of that not too long ago. And that was the Nitro story, where he goes back to Madripoor, if I remember correctly, and he deals with Nitro as Nitro's trying to trade drugs and all that. And it gave me a new liking for Nitro. So I could see Nitro in one of these movies. You know, the adamantium, what does he have, adamantium skin?
Nitro? No, it doesn't.
Nitro?
Are we talking the one that blew up Stanford?
Well, who the hell am I thinking of? Not Nitro. Damn it. Fuck.
Silver Samurai?
No. That's not
Cyber.
Cyber. Thank you. Cyber. Not Nitro. Cyber. Yeah. No. Cyber. There we go. That's exactly who it is. C-Y-B-E-R. Cyber. That's who I want to see in this damn movie. Fuck Nitro. Nitro sucks. All right? Let's go Cyber. Right.
See, I don't think they would go with that, because the metal arms thing, you know, they didn't do it that much with Colossus. I don't think they'd do it again.
Well, they don't even have to give him the adamantium, quite frankly. I mean, if they're doing a prequel movie, they could just, like, adapt it and, you know, have it be pre-adamantium even.
See, I don't even think that Wolverine has to have, like, a bad guy that's a mutant necessarily. I just want to see him go against a mob or some ninjas or something.
Yeah, cool.
I want to
see
him with Alpha Flight.
R-rated. I want to see a Wolverine prequel be R-rated. I know it's not going to happen.
You just want to see Puck one.
Yes, I love Puck.
Wouldn't you like the Wolverine prequel to be R-rated, though?
That'd be awesome, yeah. Well, I mean, they want to, from the sounds of things, so...
Yeah, well...
But you know that Fox isn't going to let them, though.
Yes, they will.
They've watered down that character. They've changed the character so much. We know it's going to be Hugh Jackman, but Wolverine isn't 6.5 feet tall.
Well, that doesn't bother me so much.
Well, remember, you can water down the character, but don't water down his beer. He'd get really, really upset. Do not want to mess with that man and his liquor. That's all I have to say.
No, but what Brent said, I agree. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to be a mutant. And a movie, I think the movie could end with him being put into the tank when they graft the adamantium onto it. He doesn't have to have him. You know, he has his bone claws anyway.
Aw. I want to see the like adamantium. I want to see him either, like, be his Weapon X person or... with the adamantium in Japan being a ninja or something. Samurai, whatever.
Well, again, if they get a good guy to play Silver Samurai, then I'm all good.
Wait a minute, he had the adamantium in Japan?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he did,
no,
didn't he?
He did in the Frank Miller thing. Because I read that, like, a month ago.
No, I'm talking, like, in the past or the one where he went to Japan?
The one where he went to Japan. I don't know about the whole past thing, but... And the Claremont Miller thing, before Bone Claws, he had the...
You see? You see, claws. Daniel Way? Stop writing.
The furor over that book has died down. I think a lot of people are just not caring anymore.
Yeah. It comes out and people don't buy it. That's all.
Then I think Joe Quesada quit doing covers, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when Wolverine had a son with three claws and one that came out of his wrist, I think people just went...
Whoa.
Not as much of a whoa cool as more like a what the fuck.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what my whoa was saying, dude.
Okay, well, I wasn't reading it, and I saw the cover and got the gist of the story, and I was just like, no.
I dropped it after
I'm
issue
sorry.
Two.
Yeah.
Is the name of the son Wolverine-y? What? Like Wolverine no, Jr.?
Duken. Let's give him a fucked up name. Duken.
I don't know.
You can't name him Bob or anything like that.
X-23 was enough. You know what I mean? And her miniseries is very good.
Yeah. I mean, come on. This, her name is X-23. I mean, she's got to live her life as X-23.
It's very good because it's not written by Daniel Way. Fuck you, fans. I don't give a shit. I make $1,000 an issue. Fuck you.
Does he? I want to write comics.
That's not a lot of money if you'd write one issue a month.
Daniel Way, go to hell. Let's not have you write anything having to do with Wolverine ever again. Okay? And let's have him write Ambush Bug. No, that'd be evil.
Love it. Love Ambush Bug.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be bad. Would you have Daniel Way write anything?
Not really.
No.
No. Okay. No. Right. No. He bastardizes everything.
Is his Ghost Rider any good?
I don't know. I don't read it.
That, right?
Yeah. I haven't read it, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah,
me neither.
Because it's Daniel Way.
Texaria art makes up for it.
Mm. By the way, Fantastic Four movie. Trailer came out. Kicked ass.
Mm-hmm.
Full trailer.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the full trailer came out, okay? And not only do we get more Silver Surfer, all right, but we get more interaction between Fantastic Four and, well, Fantastic Four. And we also get, for one thing, the Thing saying something. That's nice. That's always nice.
Yeah. Right,
we got Johnny Storm saying something. Sue does not look like a ditz this time around.
I actually like her look in the new trailer. Like, they gave her a different wig, and her eyes actually look blue instead of green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even though it kind of looks weird close up, though.
Yeah.
You can tell their contacts, but at least she looks like an actual blonde now.
And I'm
instead of a Hispanic girl.
I'm as happy with Ree as I always was, so.
Yeah, I really like him.
Check this out, guys. All of Johnny Storm's lines in the movie were complete ad-lib. They didn't write any lines for him because the character is Johnny Storm.
Really?
Like the guy who's playing him. Yeah, all ad-libs. So you can see it on the special features.
Well, Chris Evans is... I like him a lot as an actor. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend is nodding her head. She loves him. Oh, yeah. That's why she likes Fantastic Four so much.
Flame on!
Yeah, she wants to flame on him.
Mi pantalone.
Fuego. Well, look, it's just...
Are we going to have another girl on the show?
Oh, yeah. You wanted to talk about Johnny Storm?
First girl on top of timing.
If you wanted to talk about Johnny Storm, you can.
Hey,
Johnny Storm, love, get her on.
Well, that's the thing, all right? That's the thing. With Johnny Storm, all right, whether it's the comic book Johnny Storm, whether it's the movie Johnny Storm, all the girls dig him.
All right, Johnny Storm.
His pants are in fuego.
You all right? In Fuego and you have a love story going on, man. All right.
All right. Amanda, how much do you love Chris Evans as Johnny Storm?
Wow, I like him a lot.
First off, hello, Amanda. How are you?
Guy is one.
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
You're not the first girl on Comic Timing. There have been other girls.
What girl's been on Comic Timing?
We had Little Witch, and we had Denise.
Yeah,
who's
one
not
time.
A podcaster.
It was like episode 5, wasn't
okay,
it?
Okay, fine. The first non-podcasting girl on Comic Timing, all right? There you go. All right,
the first non-comic reading podcasting girl.
There you go. That's even
the first
better.
Real girl.
Hey, she's John Storm. She's okay in my book. Brent, marry her. Marry her. Like, drop to your knee and propose.
All right, that's enough. I'm plugging you back in now.
Oh.
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 Rejected.
Not really.
Wow.
Right.
Absolutely rejected.
Yeah, it's okay. You can go for Amanda.
This is what happens when we put, like, Brent on the spot for anything, okay? All right? God. But what is it exactly that you really liked about the Johnny Storm? I mean, did you like the acting or did you just like his looks?
I like both. He just seemed perfect for the character. He just seems really spunky and, you know, that kind of guy. And, you know, he's hot too, so it all works.
But did you know anything about the character before you saw the movie?
He lights himself on fire.
Fuego.
He's not gay like some people say he is. That much we know. But
oh, he better not be.
There have been rumors going around for years that he overcompensates, and that's why he's always with all the chicks and all that. But nobody really reads the character, believes that. But
maybe that's
like making fun of him.
Maybe that's why he likes hanging out with the Thing.
Oh. Oh.
He needs a flamer. Here you go.
Wow, we're
really
just putting
flame on.
Yeah, we're just putting flame and flame on into brand new categories here, aren't we? But
where's your little toy? Yoga flame.
I mean, how many of the comic movies has Brent dragged you to?
A lot. He's kind of ditching me though for Spider-Man 3, which kind of sucks.
Oh, it's not my fault. You're not going home this weekend. Okay, here's the story. You have to tell the story. Here's the story.
Wait, first off, he said he was going to take me to see it. First of all.
Well, and then I talked to my brother, and my little brother says, "Don't go see it without me, you bastard." So, and she's not going home to Orlando this weekend. So, who am I gonna please here?
And you saw Batman Begins without me the first time.
I took you to see it again, though. I saw the first Fantastic Four with you, and I saw did I see Superman with you?
Nope.
The whole
no, you didn't. Superman. I went with other people.
Did you at least take her to see Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Ghost Rider riding around with his head on fire.
They spent most budget on having the two Ghost Riders ride next to each other, and that's why one had to disappear.
Exactly. I know. Oh, but no, Ghost Rider is an awesome film because it's so bad it's good.
Yeah, I loved it.
I think you coined the term functional retard, haven't you?
Yes, yes. He is a functional retard. All right? That was the entire thing about the character. Put the cartoon monkey back on. And I mean, eating jelly beans out of a champagne glass.
That's
My
awesome.
God.
Yeah, I don't think Johnny Blaze ever acted like that in the comics.
Oh, he certainly didn't.
And Daddy Ketch didn't either.
So. I think Nicolas Cage said, "I'm going to do this movie if you let me act like Elvis."
Maybe that's why I liked it.
That's probably what she liked. Yeah. She was an indirect Elvis impersonation, and she loves Elvis, too.
And the girls got my job.
That and Eva Mendes' awesome rack that they had to show every time she was on stage.
Yeah, Eva Mendes was way overmatched for Nick Cage.
She is too hot for him.
Exactly. I mean, like, it was very uneven there. I mean, for one thing, how could Eva Mendes fall for a functional retard?
You'd be surprised.
I've had a girlfriend. I haven't, so I guess that explains it all. I don't know.
Wow. That's like having, like, Donna Troy marry, like, Ambush Bug. You know? That's the kind of feeling I got, you know,
that.
With the... Yeah, you know. Because you read that?
And the girlfriend's like, "Who's Ambush Bug?"
Yeah, pretty much.
I think at this point she's like tuning it out. It's like, oh boy, they went back in the comic talk. That's it.
We're not talking about Fantastic Four anymore.
This is what Brett does on late nights instead of talking to you.
Hey, not that often.
Oh, yeah, just every Thursday he sits here waiting, like waiting anxiously. Oh, is Ian on yet? Ooh, I think we have to do the episode now. Ooh, yeah. Hey, well, I mean, again,
can't talk to you. Must podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could be at Spider-Man 3 right now, but what are you doing instead? You're sitting here talking to us.
And Gator Stompin's tonight.
What is tonight?
We're missing Gator Stompin'.
What's Gator Stompin'?
What the hell is gator stomping? I'm a New Yorker here, so all this gator stomping thing just goes over my head.
It's kind of like Met stomping, but with gators.
I don't even know what's going on.
It's nice. It's where you, like, they have all the live shows downtown, and you get to club hop, and, like, it's one of the biggest, like, gator parties.
Oh, now
I
hear
semester.
About it.
Oh, in New York, we call that hanging out with Jimmy. That boy hits almost every single bar.
Jimmy, if Jimmy is home before 4 a.m., he did not have a good time.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
He's usually, he's usually first getting back into bed at 7 a.m., okay? Then he goes to work the next day drunk. All right? No. Let me not get him fired here or anything like that. That would be bad. That would be evil. But
Yeah, because the place where he works, they listen to podcasts all the time. We're not that important, Ian.
Oh, God. Yeah, but... Did he make you read Nightwing Annual?
What?
Not yet. Nightwing Annual.
Oh, okay.
I put it in front of her. If she finishes her work tonight, she can read it or something.
Yeah, cool. That works.
Because that'll be the only time I can force her to.
She will enjoy it. Just because it's a good relationship story.
That's sappy.
And it's superhero. It's just enough superhero stuff to move the story along, but it also puts them into a situation where they have to interact with each other on a relationship level, so I think that's why you might like it.
It'll make you laugh. Cool. It'll make you cry. It'll make you want to slap Brent for making you read it.
Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. All right, so we want to get back in the comic talk here, or
we'll shove her away now.
All right, cool.
Bye, nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Over the internet.
Yeah, kind of.
Yes, over the internet, exactly.
Teeth, I'm not making this up when I say I'm busy.
Oh, man.
A comic timing first. Wow.
The first on podcast radio.
I didn't think we'd get to the point where we'd have your girlfriend on before mine. But that's the way it happened.
And stuff.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Sadly, I'm single.
Well, Juan could have his girlfriend on himself.
We'll talk
to you. Hello, my name is Jennifer Lopez.
That'll be a video podcast.
You love my taco-flavored kisses? Taco-flavored kisses.
Juan de Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Juan de Jesus.
Did you see that episode of South Park?
Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it like 4 times.
Did you see last night's?
No, I didn't because it was an old one.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
It was still funny.
Comics.
So about that comic book thing that we talked about.
Fantastic Four trailer. Oh yeah.
Yeah, Fantastic Four trailer. Yeah. Moving on.
They didn't show any of Doctor Doom.
They didn't show any Doctor Doom. No, they didn't.
No, he's in it.
Well, wait. No, actually, didn't they show him for a little bit? For a very short.
They showed
moment?
Like his cape, but they never showed his face and actually showed you it was Doctor Doom.
Well, we do have a picture of what he looks like though.
Yeah.
He's got like this black armor thing going on that looks kind of cool. So.
I don't know. I kind of don't like that.
I think it was.
I haven't seen it. It was one picture, and maybe it was a bad lighting or something.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, why did you like it? Or?
Yeah, it looked pretty good, but I'm just wondering, do you think he's going to steal the power cosmic?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, come on, that's the story that they're doing from the looks of things. I mean, you know, from this one, from the looks of things here, we're going to have, you know, mostly a Silver Surfer story, and maybe a little bit of Galactus, like maybe at the end. But it's mostly going to be a Silver Surfer story. So, of course, he's probably going to go in there, try and steal a power cosmic and, you know, fail because he's not going to do.
You want to know what I would love to see?
What's up?
The whole movie just be a Silver Surfer, Dr. Doom movie.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the shadow of Galactus as the Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer look up towards him. You don't see him, just a shadow.
As like a number 3?
Yeah.
And by him, of course, you mean a swarm of bugs, right?
God.
Is that what they're still doing?
Yeah, they are doing that. It's going to be more like Galactus from...
Well, think about it. How, if you're trying to equate it into a real-world thing that's believable for mass audiences, are you going to go with a swarm of space alien bugs or a giant purple head drawn by Jack Kirby?
Think about it.
For the studio execs.
But then who gave the Silver Surfer his powers?
I don't know. They could explain it differently.
Look, I mean, seriously, you give Christopher Walken a helmet, all right, and you put him on.
Listen, I don't care if you have technology. I'm still going to eat your planet.
Well, I mean, they can explain very easily how Silver Surfer got his powers. I mean, you know, I mean, this swarm could very easily just have the ability of, you know, like getting that power cosmic going, so... You know, I mean, as one, you know, they get together as one, as it were, and, you know, like, beating the power down.
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah. I mean, it could work. It could definitely still work. Now, here we are, okay, at this point. Let's switch it over to DC, because we've been talking mostly Marvel, all right?
Awesome.
JLA-JSA crossover. All right, we got the first 2 issues out so far, all right? Got the JLA start, Got the JSA start. Anybody here disappointed with the artwork?
No.
Not the Shane Davis artwork. Maybe the JSA artwork a little.
Fernando Pessoa's JSA artwork was just as good
okay.
for fill-in as Shane Davis.
I think it was more of an equivalent level. I agree.
I did not know it was not Ed Bennis until I actually read the credit.
Well, I think it was the inking, because Shane Davis did the Batman annual with Jason Todd last year, and he also did, like, an issue of that. And it looked similar to that, the drawing style, but I think the inking, his inker aped Ed Bennis more than Shane Davis did.
I think so.
But I could be wrong.
I thought it was the same type of style that Shane Davis was using for Mystery in Space.
Okay.
I kind of got that same, you know, like, loose inks on the face, but tight inks on parts of the body. You know, so to give, like, muscle definition, especially on Batman. Especially when his cowl was broken. And you could see, like, the sketchiness, you know, with the inks on the face. And then for his musculature, is much tighter inking.
And I think that in general, they picked the perfect guy to fill in for Ed Bennis, though. I mean, they're
very simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Exactly, yeah. In fact, in some ways, he's a cleaner Ed Bennis.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he's a little more sketchier in that issue.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean...
I agree with Brian. It's a little bit more sketchy, but it lends itself to the type of story that's being told.
Well, what I think, though, is that he uses less lines than Ed Bennis. That might be why I think it's a bit cleaner.
Okay.
Because Ed Bennis, when he draws a face, he's always got those extra lines in there, which look a bit odd. So you had a little less of the Ed Bennis face thing going on, which sort of made me happy.
I will tell you something. Superman and Batman didn't look that old.
Yeah, I don't like Ed Bennis' Batman at all.
They do look a lot older.
They do.
They look a lot older than everyone else.
I like the short ears Batman better than the long ears Batman.
I do too.
If Ed Bennis just changed that, I'd be so much happier.
Short ears Batman, I agree with that. Because, I mean, well, for one thing, at least it's not the really, really, really long eared Batman from like
the 90s. Kelly Jones.
That's like the 3 foot ear.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me either.
Yeah.
I think it was Bruce Timm's fault.
Yeah.
Because they designed that model and it stayed pretty consistent throughout the entire, you know.
Well, even when Batman started out, his ears weren't that fucking big.
Exactly.
No.
Well,
you know, Kane and.
Oh, well, I mean, his ears were barely even noticeable in those days. I mean, come on, but.
Well, when they went to the 50s and stuff, it was still, you know, like an inch and a half or so.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what do you think about the fact that, well, obviously now it's, again, these are major spoilers here, so let's just get into that. The fact that we actually have back in continuity that at one point Superman was a Superboy and he went into the future with the Legion of Superheroes.
I just have one question for that. Did they wipe out Connor's involvement in the Legion?
Yes, from the looks of things.
There couldn't have been two separate Superboys?
Because
I think that Jeff Johns was explaining that whole Superboy thing was by having Connor go as the Superboy of that Legion and have it not be Clark.
Was that right before they went into the future and stuff?
That was, yeah.
I think that was just for a split second, though.
No, but remember, split second in time travel, he could have been there for months or years. And come back to the same point in time.
Yeah, well, and he was. I mean, if you remember from that arc, you know, back then, he was with the Legion of Superheroes for at least a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But once Infinite Crisis happened, things got reset. And obviously, with New Earth and all that, and again, no spoilers for 52 or anything like that, I don't want to do that, but with New Earth, we have a completely different timeline than we used to have. So the future is, you know, not nearly as not nearly as the same as it was, say, you know, like a year and a half ago. You know, that whole Superboy thing is stricken for the record.
I actually think it reverted to what it was pre Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Agreed. Yeah.
Well, the problem I have with the Legion of Superheroes, though, is that the future, whenever they talk about time travel and science fiction in their comic books or whatever, they always say, like, the future is fluid and, you know, it's always changing and one future is not the future once you see the future and all that stuff. So I never understood how the Legion can even exist.
I'll tell you how. Hyper time.
Well, aside from all that, that's the one problem. Like, in my head. I couldn't get it to click for me. I could see how they could tell stories in the future of the DC Universe, but trying to link everything together just never really worked for me. Because if you're having time travel thing, you know, like, what was that show with Scott Bakula?
Scott Bakula, yeah. Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap, yeah. Weren't they always talking about how the future always changes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even Back to the Future, it was always changing.
Well, yeah, and I mean,
with every little thing. So I don't see, like, it never clicked for me with the whole Legion thing.
Well, with the way that we have the DC Universe now, I mean, it could be, you know, a Legion from absolutely anywhere that he was with. I mean, it doesn't have to specifically be, you know, the true future, as it were. I mean, it could have been an alternate future. It could have been an alternate timeline. It could have been an alternate reality. You know, anywhere you go, there could be, like, thousands of different Legion versions out there, for all we know. Because, again, because the future is not set in stone, the Legion is not set in stone. We know that because, well, quite frankly, the Legion of Superheroes that is in JLA JSA right now is not the Legion of Superheroes we're seeing in the Legion of Superheroes book. And Supergirl's in
their
that.
Members are part of it, but they're completely different characters.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, a perfect example of that is Dream
Girl. Karate Kid. He's not really the same, you know, in Wade's, like you said, it's a completely different character.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He's a side character in Legion, and here he's a major character. Like, he almost took down Batman, you know.
Yeah,
it's not a lot of people could do that.
And also, wasn't Starboy, if I remember correctly, also in the Legion that Wade's writing?
It's a different Starboy.
Exactly, yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. And the Star Boy that we have now, of course, is Starman.
Mm-hmm. And Dream Girl is dead in the future.
Yes, yes.
But she's alive in JLA JSA, Lightning Saga.
Because it's in the past.
But it's a different Dream Girl.
It could be the Dream Girl from the past, from the Legion.
Okay, now you hurt my head, but...
and not to add more confusion to the fire, how many members are on the JSA alone, plus the 11 plus members that are on the JLA, plus the Legion 20. Of Superheroes.
So it'll be like 30 at the end. Get Ed Bennis or Dale Eaglesham drawing a 30-page person.
Exactly. You would think that George Perez was drawing it, because, you know, George Perez loves to do, like, those 30-person pages, but alas, it will not be him.
Ugh. You know what I did like? The Shane Davis issue in JLA?
Yeah.
That spread where they were all together? I thought that
and
was
Batman
really
was drinking tea?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny, but they're talking about old books with Power Girl. That was funny.
Yeah.
I really like that.
The more refined
gentleman. And Clark Kent telling a lame-ass joke to an old man.
I saw that coming. I didn't really, you know.
That joke's older than me, Clark.
So what do you get when you cross a cow with another cow?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Nobody.
Nobody who?
Nobody gives a fuck. I'm still missing one eye, and this eye isn't mine.
Okay, yeah. What the hell is Alan Scott? Now he has two eyes? I'm so confused.
No, he only has one eye.
Green Lantern power, isn't it?
Yeah, but they don't show a green glow coming out of his other fucking eye or a Green Lantern.
Then you know
patch.
What? That's editorial's fault.
That bugs the fuck out of me.
What really annoys me is the fact that, well, if Adam Strange, I don't know. I mean, if Adam Strange can get spoiler. If Adam Strange can get his eyes back, why couldn't he have just, like, gone down and said, "Hey, GL, do you want me to get you another eye?"
No, he didn't get. He got a clone from
his
son's eye or something. His daughter's eye.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I don't think he's Zeta beamed back.
No, he didn't.
Earth. Not at least not yet.
Not yet.
No, they left him at RAN.
Yeah. He's probably getting some snoo-snoo from his wife.
You bet.
Snoo-snoo.
Not for a year. I'm taking a third honeymoon.
I'm not taking my wife to Earth. Why? She sees Superman, she'll leave me.
Oh, God. Beautiful. Yeah.
Who knows what sex toys they have on RAN.
Oh, by the way, who absolutely...
Super Zeta being dildo.
Oh, dude.
Gets you off at the speed of light.
And set up for Juan and Spike.
Did everybody love Batman schooling Mr. Terrific as much as I did?
You know what? That rings true. because of all these people with the whole Batman isn't that smart. He's that
just,
smart.
Yeah, exactly. I think we just proved that he is a very, very smart dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that scene right before there where Batman's walking in, he's talking to Black Canary.
Yeah.
And he's saying Clark's on his way, and then he stops himself. Was he stopping to look at the chess game, or was he stopping himself because Black Canary is the leader now, technically?
He was stopping to look at the chess game.
Yes.
See, I interpret it as like a character thing, like he was stopping and acknowledging that Black Canary is the leader, so, you know, he shouldn't be barking orders to her or giving her status reports like she's just another member.
You know, I think it works in both ways, really, because I think he might have been stopping for the chess game, but at the same time, yeah, I think he is sort of realizing, wait a second here, Black Canary should be telling me this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he was looking down, so it could be either or. You know, like, maybe he stopped himself.
I don't think Batman would look down. I think he'll recognize the position, but he wouldn't lower his eyes.
No, he lowered his head or something. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But he did some sort of motion in the panel. It was a silent panel. And he's either looking down or looking at the chess game.
Yeah.
So it could have been, like, both. But I thought, if it is that, that was really cool.
By the way, is Geo-Force an official member of the JLA now?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Who the fuck is Geo-Force?
Geo-Force has been around for years.
Right? He's an ass.
Wait, he was one of the original members of Batman and the Outsiders.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, what are his powers?
His powers...
Did his powers change? Because number 7 made it seem like they changed.
His powers are now that of... Well, he's Terra's brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he had, like, super gravitational forces.
Yes. Yes, he did. And now he has... he seems to have the rock abilities that Terra used to have.
So now he has both.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Because he used the gravity thing in the Capture the Flag sequence.
Yeah, he seems to have gotten both, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think things are going to stay like that for a while because, well, it sort of makes him cooler, so.
Did she die twice? I thought she died in, like, Teen Titans Judas Contract or something.
All right, Juan, explain.
She died at the end of the Teen Titans Judas Contract. Uh-huh. Then she disappeared. All of a sudden, this clone shows up. And Geo Force is like, oh, no, it's my sister. It's my sister. Are you alive? And she's like, no, I'm not alive. I'm really a clone. But in reality, she was Terra, and she hadn't really died. And now my head hurts.
Oh, my God. I'm glad she's dead now.
She's dead, and there's a new Terra.
But it's not a clone.
It's not a clone. It's a girl. It's a brunette. She has all of Terra's powers. I don't know where she got it. She was in the Gray and Palmiotti issue of Supergirl.
Did they start that mini yet or no? Because there's a miniseries coming out about it.
Not yet, but it's starting soon. You want to know what I think? I think that Terra dyed her hair and she's actually Terra.
Oh, you got to be... Because they just finished killing her. You know, if a character dies, they should stay dead for at least 6 months. You heard that, Captain America?
Do you think that's why they're delaying Captain America's issue?
No, come on.
No, it's been solicited in previews.
No, but I mean, there's like 3 months between issues on that fucking story.
Oh, yeah.
I guess because Son's late.
That was Civil War's fault.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, back
and
to...
And because Fallen Son was late.
Yeah,
segue.
But yeah, exactly. We'll talk about Fallen Son in a little bit, though. But
the issue, did you like that one? When they went to Arkham?
Oh, yeah, no, that was awesome. Well, my favorite part about it was the fact that we saw the other angle on the shot that we saw at the end of JSA number 1.
Yeah.
That was really cool. I love the way that they're working that in, because I didn't want it to be the exact same shot.
And that was exactly what I told you both times we talked about that shot.
Yes.
On the last episode and the time we actually redid it.
Mm-hmm.
I nailed it.
Yeah, you absolutely nailed it. Congratulations, sir. You have won a prize of being on the show.
Oh.
Yeah. you've won a prize of making your girlfriend sit there while you're on the show.
Yeah, now she's looking at me, pushing up her glasses like, nerd. One of us.
Oh, man.
One of us. Yeah. Do you think these Legion of Superheroes that are in this are going to become a like major canon? I mean, are we eventually going to see them replace them in the Legion of Superheroes book?
I don't care. Basically, Legion as a Legion of book, and they can have these guys be the Legion that Superman joined, and it not really matter to me because this is my first Legion story, so really it doesn't matter.
It's your first Legion story?
Yes, sir.
you've never read Legion of Superheroes.
Nope, I read the Teen Titans thing when it was in the Futurist Now trade, and this one.
Do yourself a favor,
and I watched the cartoon.
Do yourself a favor and pick up the first trade of Wade's Legion. It's been
with
great.
Supergirl.
It's been
worth great. It.
The Supergirl first Supergirl trade?
No, the first trade period.
Okay.
Because that's a great place to start, because then you get to know about, you know, like, why this league is so different.
All right. Because, it's going on the list.
Yeah.
And there's a girl called Shrinking Violet.
Exactly. You know what her power is? To shrink.
Shrinks.
Up. She's pulling out the Nightwing issue.
Oh.
Oh. Open up the beautiful and Draco and Joe Bennett artwork.
All right.
She opened it up.
Do we have a convert?
I swear to God, this is the rest of our episode.
Church Comics.
Okay, I'll
this
stop.
Is the rest of our episode. This is going to be the best episode ever.
I won't update you when she turns the page and stuff.
Oh! She did it again. Oh.
She turned the page. Oh my God!
And as
oh my God.
As the good pastor Ian Levenstein sits upon his pulpit on the Church of Comics, and gives Brent Cassina the Nightwing annual to give to his girlfriend to make a convert of her. Can I say a hate?
Hey, she's
can I get
read,
an amen?
She's read Mouse, and she liked that. She loved it.
How exactly do you read a mouse? I mean, you can use it. You can use it online. I know that. I mean, you use it. You know, like you use it to like you know click on things and stuff. But reading it is kind of difficult.
Well, Microsoft introduced that IntelliPort mouse.
Oh, okay.
You kind of like highlight shit and it like blows it up for you.
That's really cool.
Okay, if anybody's really not. You know, listening to those two, it's Art Spiegelman's mouse.
We
M-A-U-S.
Know, dude. We know.
I know. I'm letting the listeners know.
Okay.
I'm letting your listeners know.
Oh. Your my listeners.
Yes. Your listeners.
Just because you're not an official co-host, they're not your listeners. I see how it is. Okay.
I can only say my listeners if I'm. Well, even my listeners aren't my listeners on BK's Bullets. They're still Raging Bullets listeners.
Hey, dude. There could be people who just listen to BK's Bullets and not the rest of the episode.
No.
Could you imagine that? They gotta download the 35 megabyte file.
Just yeah, I could email it to them just as easily.
5 megabytes.
I know. The 35 gigabyte file of Raging Bullets. Yeah.
And then they have to find it.
iFanboy's video podcast downloads before Raging Bullets.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. It's absolutely fantastic. All right, let's get back to being serious here for a minute. Okay?
Legion,
yes. Where do you see this crossover going? I mean, do we come to a simple conclusion here, or are things like going to be more and more messed up every single time? Like things seem to be going.
Well, hopefully next issue. Sorry, Juan, but hopefully next issue we'll have a villain or some sort of purpose. Because right now they're still introducing characters.
Juan, who do you think the villain is?
You know, that's kind of hard because this may play into Countdown.
I think this may give
us the death that will trigger the events in Countdown.
Hmm. Well, Countdown starts next week, though.
Mm-hmm. No, well, it's either in Teen Titans, JLA, or JSA.
I thought somebody was going to die in Countdown, like the second week or something. That's what the impression I got.
It could be.
It could be Jimmy Olsen.
Because Jimmy Olsen must die.
That'd be quick.
It
dies in the second issue.
That'd be horrible.
Be fucking quick.
Jimmy Olsen must die. Okay, Jimmy Olsen's dead.
All over the comics. Imagine if they had done that with Ted Kord. Ted Kord must die.
Oh, okay. God. Yes.
Here you go.
Yes. In 52, Ted Kord must die. Oh, shit. Oops.
Oh my God. You guys suck.
Oh my God, what?
You guys suck.
Oh, Ian said the ums.
No, it's not that. You guys said something else. And I just... All of 52 just fell into place for me.
Really?
Yeah. It like all made some weird form of sense. Damn you, Mark Waid, and your cryptic messages.
Okay.
Did you just spoil yourself on 52 number 52?
I did. I just spoiled myself.
You spoiled yourself?
Yes.
Oh my God, dude. That's awesome.
I don't think Brent has realized what happened. I think Brent's like checked out. Did you know what just happened, Brent?
Brent?
Is he there?
Oh, God damn you, Brett. You did it again, didn't you?
What have I done?
You've brought me to a level of self-actualization.
Oh, God.
In which, by saying one simple thing, you have allowed me to unravel the mystery of 52.
What did I say?
It's not important, because I don't want to re-remember everything that just flashed in my head. Because all the pieces worked all at one time.
See, what's messed up is that I don't even know what the fuck he said.
I don't even know what I said. I wish I knew what I said so something could happen to me like
that. Well, what the hell
did he
say? I don't
understand 52. I don't know.
That Ted Kord is dead. Ted Kord must die in 52. And it triggered the series of events that led me to this is what happens at the end of 52, issue 52. And I'm not going to say it because some people may not have read it.
What?
Like myself. I haven't read 52, issue 52, and yet I know the end.
Well, Ted Kord's in 52. I'm biting my tongue. Yeah, so when you read it, you're going to hit yourself even more.
Yeah, I know.
You know what happens at the end of 52?
No.
Grant Morrison farts on the world.
Right. So should we move on to Marvel?
Well, let's just say, one more time here, all right, just for our sakes. Who do you think the villain is, JSA, Brent?
God, I don't know. Despero? It always seems like it's him.
Despero? Wow.
I don't know. Isn't JSA Virtue Advice? It was him.
Isn't he dead?
In the Batman-Superman arc that just wrapped up, it was him. I don't know.
You want to know who I think it is? Mixius Pilek. Oh, right.
You know, that makes a weird form of sense. I don't even think this is RJLA, to be honest.
Get out.
No, because from everything that Meltzer's been doing, some of the characters just seem so out of character.
Like what?
Like the hot girl. She's not as warlike as she should be.
Dude,
she hasn't been in it that much.
Dude, honestly, this is the Hawk Girl that I know, so.
Yeah, but have you read her in Birds of Prey? I think she's written more character in Birds of Prey.
In Birds of Prey, she seems like the exact same character.
No, I don't know. Maybe it's just Meltzer's writing that's doing it to me.
I think the first thing she said was a number 7 or something.
Or maybe it's that I can't tell which character is saying the caption.
Yeah, that did get a little messed up this issue, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number 7.
Yeah.
And it's even worse because now you have JSA members.
Yeah.
All in all, though, I mean, like, they're. I'm glad that we're finally getting the crossover here because, well, they're famous for the JLA-JSA crossovers, and now that they're both back, it makes sense to do it this early on in both books. So, yay for that.
And right after they both launched, basically.
Yeah.
With the writers that launched the book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they're together. That's what they are. They're two groups coexisting.
Do you want to see Brad Meltzer come back after this arc? Like, you know how he takes a year off between comics and novels and stuff? Do you want to see him do a different project, like a different book, or do you want to see him come back to JLA that he started?
I'd like to actually see him come back to JLA.
Because it just makes sense to me. If he set everything up and all these characters and stuff and picked all the team members that he would want to come back to at least do two stories. Or like two 12-issue arcs or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Juan. What do you think? You want him back?
I don't mind him as long as he gives us... I think the problem people are having is that he's trying to do what Bendis does with the time jumps.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's from panel to panel. And not a lot of people could keep up with it sometimes. I'm not saying, everyone. But what he did so well in Identity Crisis is that he had a really good rhythm to the story. Mm-hmm. And if he writes JLA with that kind of rhythm, I think I would love to see him back.
Well, that's not just his comics, though.
Uh-huh.
I read Book of Fate. I've only read one of his books, though, but he does that same thing in Book of Fate. He has, like, a short chapter, and then he jumps to a different perspective. Short chapter, jumps to a different perspective. But that was after he wrote Identity Crisis. I don't know if it's, like, coming from that or if he's been doing it the entire time.
I think that's just his writing style, honestly.
That just might be, like, all thrillers, because all of Dan Brown's novels do the same thing. The Da Vinci Code guy,
yeah.
Whether it's Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, Digital Fortress, or any of his other books, they all do that same thing as well. So it could just be
But I think with prose, you could get away with it. With the visual medium, maybe it's a little bit more difficult. What do you think?
Well, prose and visual medium are two different entire things. I think that when you do it visually, it does kind of feel more like jumping around and jumping around, if you know what I mean. Because, I mean, when you go from like, oh yeah, wow, this person, this person, this person, this person, that person, that person, that person, and you literally have four different scenes happening at the exact same time,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just having one scene wrap up, then go to the next, then go to the next, it's a bit different than when it's just written down.
With prose, you can have a physical page break. It could be in the same chapter.
Yeah.
But that double space, okay, it's another scene.
Yes.
You know, it's not from one panel to the next.
Well, Bilson and DeMeo were kind of doing that on their Flash one. I think he's doing it better than they ever did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, and that's the thing, though.
He's not a bad writer.
He's not a bad writer. No, exactly. He's not a bad writer, but
he's a great writer.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is that, I mean, he's probably writing these scripts out like he would write the script for a book out, as it were.
He said, like, he wrote all of this ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like a year ago. That's how long this has been brewing. It's like for
a year. Thought he actually had the... I was under the impression he had all 12 issues done.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, he's writing his novel now while he's doing all the Newsrama interviews and shit.
Exactly. Yeah, and then eventually he'll go back to comics and do whatever he's doing in comics.
It's too bad that Ed Bennis couldn't have done it all last year.
Yes, well, that's Ed Bennis. Yeah. I myself would rather have Ivan Reis filling in on art. That's just me, but...
But he's on Green Lantern and still takes long there, too.
Yes, but the Daniel Acuna stuff made me drop Green Lantern for two issues, so what do you...
That didn't work for you?
It didn't work for me.
No, I don't like it.
I like Daniel Acuna's art, usually. I liked Freedom Fighters and all that, but it's not a tone suited for Green Lantern. It's just not.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Well, the Daniel Acuna stuff, like, then... This issue that came out this Wednesday and the past one, it didn't look as detailed or whatever like the Uncle Sam stuff did.
Well, you could tell it's a fill-in.
Yeah. It looks rushed.
Yeah.
Compared to the other Daniel Acuna stuff that's out there.
I think they were just trying to get the book back on schedule.
That could be it, too. I appreciate that, but...
Well, I mean, yeah, considering that Green Lantern's been more off schedule than pretty much any of Jeff Johns' books, so...
I think the space in between issue 13 and issue 14 was like 3.5 months.
And which issues were those? Because I know the first One Year Later arc took forever.
Yeah, it was the end of the Wanted arc, which was the one with the cyborg Superman with the rings on the cover.
Yeah, yeah. That took forever to come out.
Wanted. On-time storylines.
You know what I'm really liking? Paco Diaz. He did the fill-in for the Flash. He did the last Flash issue before Tony Daniel jumped on.
Yeah.
And he did some of Jones' Nightwing. I'm really liking him, and he can pull out a book.
That does not exist. Like. Bruce Jones' Nightwing does not exist.
Well, other than the crappy story, his art was good in that.
Mm-hmm.
I really like him. I hope they put him on something permanent.
I'd like to see him on Teen Titans, honestly.
Well, more than Baron Nuevo. He sucks.
I wouldn't exactly say he sucks.
He was trying to swipe Daniel's style.
Exactly.
And it didn't work.
No, I don't think it's even that. I think his style is too... realistic and too heavily inked for that book. It just doesn't have a youthful feel like Daniel's did.
I agree. I agree entirely.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I like his art style when he was on Gotham Knights and stuff. Mm-hmm. The Return of Hush storyline, it looks great there. But like in this last issue that came out this week and the one before those, just like the camera angles are weird, so he's drawing the faces funny because he can't really pull it off. So he's, like, trying too hard, and then it just feels too old. The characters don't feel youthful.
So who would you like to see on the book?
Paco Diaz. He did a couple pages in the last, Titans Around the World issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did, like, 3 or 4 pages in there. And then he did some pages in some Ion issues with the monitors and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think he could do Teen Titans.
That'd be awesome. I'd love it. Let's do it. Go! Right,
let's write a letter.
Get the deal on the phone now.
Yeah. Punk. All right, I'm done. let's move on to Fallen Son here, all right? Or Fallen Soldier or Fallen whatever the hell you want to call it, all right?
All right.
All right, we got Fallen Son Wolverine, and we got Fallen Son Avengers, all right? I thought these were going to be one-shots originally, but apparently they're all tying in, all right? Because we got Fallen Son Avengers apparently happening at the exact same time as Fallen Son Wolverine, all right? It's just different
directly after it.
Exactly, directly after it, yeah. The Wino U arch on Fallen Son Wolverine was pretty good. It was pretty damn good. Oh yeah,
I like it. Worked. It worked for the story that was being told.
I liked it. I like what he's doing on New Avengers now, but the last issue kind of threw me for a bit. I thought the first two issues on New Avengers from Lionel Yu were very strong, but I thought the Wolverine issue was great.
I think his stuff has been a bit too dark on New Avengers. I like it, but sometimes
it's not as clean as it used to be.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But that style he's been using on New Avengers fits perfectly on Wolverine.
Yeah,
and I'd rather see him on Wolverine than New Avengers, quite frankly. But for what he was doing there, that was just great stuff. Now, the storyline itself, all right, we got Jeff Loeb writing pretty much everything here. And I'm not quite sure if it's a story that has to be told. It all kind of feels like filler to me.
Yeah.
But
well, the first issue got me in. Like, I liked the first issue, but after reading the second one, I figured I could, you know, if I had to drop something, that would be it. Because the second issue felt like nothing. Like you said earlier, Ian, before the podcast, is an excuse for Ed McGuinness to draw Avengers.
Because
literally nothing happened in that book that made me anger.
And
sorry,
the character
didn't
really seem that angry.
Yeah.
No, it's Marvel.
I know the current Spider-Man. Avengers, the Mighty Avengers, didn't seem angry at all.
It was just like Ms. Marvel that was angry.
Well, Ms. Marvel...
wasn't even because of Steve's death.
Did she fuck Captain America or something? Why is she so messed up?
Whoa. Dude. No, she's a very over-emotional person. She always is, all right? I mean, that's been her character for a while now. And, I mean, in her own book, she gets over-emotional a lot. And Steve's death just really struck her because, well, I mean, he's always kind of been a role model for her. Even when she was originally on the Avengers and on a lot of other things, he's sort of always been there for her, as it were. And no, they did not fuck. But they were very, very close friends for a while, okay? And she's taking it like any close friend would when your close friend dies.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what's happening with her. With everybody else, however, with the new Avengers side of things, at least, I like the card game. I like the reaction from Spider-Man. I loved the Ed McGuinness art on that, all right? Thing, I said this before the podcast, I'll say it now. Ed McGuinness needs to draw Fantastic Four, okay? Because that Thing was fantastic. Literally, the best thing I've seen drawn in years.
The best thing, or just in general the best
thing? The best thing.
You go so much further with Thing jokes.
Oh, yeah. But the best Ben Grimm, the best Benjamin J. Grimm from Yancey Street that has ever been drawn.
His best nephew, Benny.
All right, I did like his Benjamin J. Grimm,
yes.
His thing. But the rest of the
issue... Ring, do your thing.
Oh, you had to bring that
up. For those of you old enough to remember that cartoon.
Yes, I remember it. Oh, God.
All right, well, the rest of the art I thought just felt... It looked the same. Wolverine I liked because he was short like he's supposed to be. And I loved Wolverine in the Wolverine backup he did in 50 when he fought the Hulk.
Yeah.
I liked that. Spider-Man I liked because he was thin. But Luke Cage and Danny Rand, they just look the same. They look the same, or I saw DC characters.
Is it just me? Or did Danny Rand look like Banshee?
It's the collar.
Yeah, exactly. That collar, I swear to frickin' God, he was wearing Banshee's outfit.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just didn't work for him at all. I mean, had he drawn it ever so slightly differently, I would have felt a little different, but he didn't, so.
Do you think Ed McGuinness is, like, a good Marvel artist?
Oh, yeah.
I've been associating him with DC since forever.
One of the first things I ever saw him draw was Thor, actually. And that was actually when he first got discovered by Wizard. He drew a Thor image, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I've seen his Spider-Man stuff on sketches he's done and stuff, and I've absolutely adored it. His Doctor Doom, I've also seen sketched a couple times. It looks great. And this is the first thing I've really seen of him other than that backup in Wolverine. And I really enjoyed this stuff from him. I want to see him do more Marvel stuff. Obviously, he's going to be doing Ultimates, but I want to see him do more regular Marvel Universe stuff. Specifically, again, I'd love Fantastic Four. That'd be great. But even a fill-in run on Mighty Avengers would be fine by me. because his Ares looked very clean. I like that.
Ares was good. Just the Iron Man, I did not like at all.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
What was
his Iron Man looked too blocky.
Okay.
Whereas the current Iron Man armor, as we've seen in, like, you know, other artists and stuff, is, like, more rounded and stuff.
Okay.
But, I mean, even the Frank Cho Iron Man, just, I don't like either. It just, his face just looks flat.
Well, that's the thing, though. I think he was looking for a Frank Cho-style Iron Man, because obviously that's the Iron Man you see in Mighty Avengers.
Yeah, but, I mean, this isn't the Mighty Avengers fill-in. This is Avengers, a one-shot or something. You can do your own thing.
I don't know. Juan, what did you think about the Iron Man?
I'm looking at it right now, and I don't... It works just enough for the scenes that he's in it. Like, he's not really a major player in this fight, so... Yeah. I didn't really look at it as detailed as you guys were looking at it, to be honest.
But
he is Banshee. I just turned to the page.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is... Oh, wow. No. I was like, yeah, that's the collar. And I said, hey, I got the issue right in front of me. Let me open it up. And that's Banshee.
Well, blimey, it's a Banshee.
I thought he died in Deadly Genesis.
He's back in Iron Fist form.
It's the mutton chops. The mutton chops, man.
Yeah. And his Luke Cage looked all right. I mean, I didn't think it was the best Luke Cage.
It was just generic, I thought.
Yeah, well, and again, he wasn't wearing anything that would really make him stand out, though.
Well, Luke Cage doesn't anymore. He wears a black T-shirt.
Exactly my point. I mean,
and those empty Wonder Woman bracelets.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if that's really all you're wearing, then it's hard to make you look distinct.
Luke Cage needs a costume, don't you think?
I agree.
Not the yellow and the tiara, necessarily, but... something different.
Yeah, let's get him something in pink.
More like a papaya pink?
Yeah, something like that, exactly.
A Lacoste shirt?
Fresh and fruity Luke Cage.
White linen pants.
Oh. Disco stew Luke Cage.
The 70s will never die.
Oh, right.
What do you think of his Jessica Drew?
I like the Jessica Drew, actually. I like that a lot, actually. I felt that captured the character because Jessica Drew is way, way, way too often drawn way, way, way too sexy. All right? Mm-hmm. It's a really weird thing to say about a character, I know, but they oftentimes sex her up way too much.
I think Olivier Coipel, when he did that new Avengers issue, did it just right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he did a really good job on her. This Spider-Woman actually felt like Spider-Woman to me. It didn't feel like it was just, you know, some supermodel in a Spider-Woman outfit. This felt like Spider-Woman to me, and I like that.
What about the juxtaposition of the scenes, like the page is split in half?
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot, because we were getting Mighty and New at the same time. So.
See, I didn't like that at all. I think the first couple of pages it worked until he got to the Sanctum Sanctorum and they established that they're playing poker.
Okay.
I think at that point he could have switched away and done half and half, where he's focused on the new Avengers and then focused on the Mighty Avengers.
I guess. And, I mean, it is an artistic choice, I'm sure, but it could have also been Jeff Loeb telling him to do that.
See, I was thinking it was a Jeff Loeb thing because it worked pretty well for the first couple of pages, but it just got tired at the end, I thought. For me.
I think what Jeff Loeb was trying to do was trying to build like a catharsis into the story by making you feel an escalating anger, and it didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Civil War confession issue, I thought that would have worked a lot better if you had Tony Stark and Iron Man or Captain America and Iron Man, the conversation at the end. If you actually had it in chronological order, that it would have worked better. And I thought this would have worked better if, you had the side-by-side for a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then just split it.
Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous in the confession. Because I got done with that first story, and I'm like, wow, that was really powerful. Wait a minute, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, and then you got to that story, and it just kind of killed it.
Yeah, because, I mean, that second story was almost like a what-if story to me. Like, that conversation could have very well not even happened. You know, like, I mean, that's a throwaway conversation right there. You know, I mean, like, in the end, you know, yeah, he eventually ended up out of that holding facility and dead. That's it. That's what happened to Captain America. That whole conversation didn't have to happen.
And the whole setup of the it wasn't worth it thing would have been so much better if he had yelled it first instead of at the end.
Agreed.
I keep saying that should have been in Civil War 7.
Yes, that too. Or he should have died in Civil War 7 too.
I'm not quite agreeing on that because I felt they did a great job.
You want to update? She just finished Nightwing Annual. Don't ruin it because Ian hasn't spoiled it.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Oh, I liked it. It was so cute.
Good.
So cute. There you have it.
Good. There we go. It was so cute. So now I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I'll have it in a couple days. Yay.
He hasn't gotten it yet.
No, because my shipment hasn't come yet. Damn it.
He gets them online.
Wow. How long does it take?
They were delayed a couple days because apparently the shipment came late. However, it did just get mailed out a couple days ago. So hopefully I'll have it by the end of the weekend, if not by Monday or Tuesday. So.
All right.
Yeah. But yay. Yeah.
Follow your effort.
At this point, just to give you an update, Raph is 45 minutes into Spider-Man 3.
He's fighting screaming, Sandman!
Venom! Oh my god, it's Eddie Brock! Oh my god!
Parker!
Okay, Brent, how did you just turn him into Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Sorry.
The Ice Age!
Oh my god, it's Sandman! Do it now! Get in the chopper! I'm Detective John Kimble, you idiot!
The Duma.
It's not the Duma! Oh, God.
It's how penises and the girls have vaginas.
Since the movie. And we are almost 2 hours and 20 minutes into our discussion.
Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this absolutely lovely? Technically, we're about 2 hours in, according to my recorder, because that first half hour didn't really happen. So, but yeah. The Fallen Son... Okay. Let's actually compare here Wolverine to Avengers. Which story felt like it was more to you? Which story did you enjoy more? Brent, which one did you like better?
Wolverine, by far.
Okay.
Because of all the reasons I just said.
Okay.
Wolverine was like one continual story. It felt like it had a purpose. And he actually got the denial theme across.
Yeah.
Whereas the second one with anger was the theme. There wasn't much anger in that issue at all. There was an escalating anger, but I would have rather seen them angry the entire issue. They were kind of like... Especially the new Avengers, I thought could have used a lot more anger.
I thought there was more frustration than anger.
Yeah, but they felt like they were down on their luck and sad rather than angry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only person who was angry was Spider-Man at the end when Wolverine says he's dead.
Yeah.
Well, like, couldn't that have been the whole issue as a conversation rather than a poker game?
He's not dead! You're dead! You're all dead! I hate you all!
I think that might have worked a little bit better than the poker game.
Yeah.
Or them going, are we going to play yet? I don't know.
Again, it was an excuse for Ed McGuinness to draw an awesome poker game.
All right, but put some fucking story in it. I hope the next issues are better.
I hope so, too.
I hope there's more to Captain... I don't even know what the Captain America one's about, because he's dead.
We don't know either, but Juan, let me ask you again, Wolverine or Avengers?
Wolverine, just for the simple reason that... It got its point across, but then from him just having come back to the card game that was in the Avengers book, and to have seen the body, and you didn't really see it because it was in the shadow, but Wolverine had this feeling like, I was wrong. And when he comes back, he's denying it, and Spider-Man kind of gets underneath his skin, but that wasn't the anger that should have been displayed, and I think that's why the second book failed, because it didn't make me feel angry about anything. I didn't even think they were angry about anything relevant to the death of Captain America, except for Spider-Man, like Brent said.
Yeah.
And the first book did its job much better than the second book.
She felt there should have been more emotion there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, it was... It was emotion for the wrong reason.
I gotcha.
Or okay. Maybe they're just making an excuse to not admit that they're mad that Steve is dead.
Ian, let me ask you again. Which book did you like better?
Well, Brent, I'm glad you asked, actually. I'm going to be the guy who says Avengers, all right? All right, now hear me out, okay?
He has to be that guy.
Yes, I have to be that guy, all right? I freaking loved the Arch, all right? That much we know, okay? I'm an Ed McGuinness fanboy, what can I say? But I felt like there was enough story there to make me happy. With Wolverine, it kind of didn't tell me anything new, okay? Because from what I know, all right, Wolverine had already seen the body in New Avengers.
No, that was a clone, or a decoy, or a hologram.
Okay. All right.
The New Avengers arc takes place before this Fallen Sun shit.
Before this, okay, all right. Okay.
That's all right. What I'm getting.
That's kind of what I'm hoping then, all right. All right, but okay, the Wolverine thing also, there was too little going on there, too little characters involved there for me to really like it that much, I think. All right, so I think we talked enough about the initiative. The initiative. What the hell am I talking about?
It's all part of the initiative.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we've talked enough about Fallen Sun. I think we basically know that like we like it, but it could have been better. And I like Ed McGuinness's art, and they don't really like it nearly as much as I did. But, you know, that's going to happen because, well, I'm an Ed McGuinness fiend, and they're not quite there. Except for Brent, who wants him to go back to DC really bad. Right, Brent?
I like McGuinness a lot. Just didn't like him as much here.
You want him to go back to DC?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're DC's bitch.
I really like DC. Sorry.
DC is the better company.
It's time for another installment of BK's Bullets.
Outstanding.
You know, I was waiting for at least one person on the show to say outstanding. So that's good. We've officially gone there. All right. All right, let's end this episode up with some speculation. All right. Now, what I want to do is this is sort of a new segment here called Speculation Time. And let's speculate about things that are going to be happening sometime in the future that we know absolutely nothing about. For instance, Ultimate Spider-Man. Now, a rumor was started by Comic Geek Speak a couple of episodes back that they believe that Terry Moore is going to be the new writer on Ultimate Spider-Man once Brian Michael Bendis leaves. And they believe this is going to be announced somewhat soon. Now, I believe they said it was going to be announced at Wizard World Philly, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Terry Moore, obviously Strangers in Paradise, is what he's known for most. And I really have not ever read Strangers in Paradise, so I can't really say much about Terry Moore.
The episode that we're referring to would be 248.
There you go, 248. Yes.
Pittsburgh Comic-Con wrap-up.
Yes. Now, somebody gasped. Was that you, Juan?
Yes.
Have you read Strangers in Paradise?
Mm-hmm. At least I read the first volume.
What do you think?
He could do the job because he knows how to play up the relationships. That's what Strangers in Paradise so far for me has been about, the relationships between these three people. And if he could keep that interaction, especially between, let's say, Kitty and Mary Jane and Spider-Man, and his interaction, you know, like interaction triangles between that set of characters and Nick Fury and, let's say, Mr. Fantastic and Spider-Man, which is the basis of what Bendis is doing. Yeah. It's just showing how these interactions affect this kid's life. Mm-hmm. And Terry Moore has a very good grasp on that, at least through the first volume.
Yeah.
And if he could do that on a monthly basis, like he was doing for Strangers in Paradise, mm-hmm. Spider-Man... Ultimate Spider-Man has a very bright future once Brian Michael Bendis leaves.
So you think it's going to be a Monin and more?
I think so. I like Eminens, or however you say his name.
Eminen, a Monin, you say tomato, I say tomato.
I like it. It suits the book. It still has that youthful feel. It's not Bagley, and people, you got to get used to it.
Yeah.
At least, you know. Bagley needs to move on. He's been doing Spider-Man for God knows how long.
Oh, please. Yeah, I mean, come on. He's been doing Spider-Man since the Clone Saga.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's about damn time he does something else. So I'd actually really like to see Bagley on something like Mighty Avengers once Cho is gone.
He's going to be on Mighty
Avengers. I could see that.
Yep.
Is he?
Long term. Yeah. Long term. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I know he's going to be on for like a fill-in, but I'd like to actually see him on there long term.
They need to put him on a book that's late.
No, because he could bring that book around.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm saying it.
Because he was drawing Ultimate Spider-Man like a fiend.
So, what, they're going to put him on Iron Man?
Iron Man's not late.
The only reason Iron Man is late is because of Civil War.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. It's on the shelves now, and I'm sorry. Okay, can I go on an Iron Man rant here?
Go ahead.
I haven't been reading the Iron Man comics since the Execute Program arc.
Yeah.
I jumped on in the middle of the middle of that, went back and got the first issues of that arc, and I've been reading it since. I think the Knopf brothers are doing a damn good job writing Tony Stark. He's not an asshole in his own fucking book. Give him a fucking break. People on the CGS forum started a thread today. Do you think Iron Man's future is dead? Have they killed the character? I was like, are you reading his book? Because they're basing it on all the stuff that's in New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, and Civil War. In his own book, he's a great guy. And they're taking the S.H.I.E.L.D., the Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, and running with it. He's like an anti-terrorism guy now. It's really cool. There's stuff happening with the Mandarin. You know, the stuff happens every issue. The artist now, Roberto De La Torre, is doing like a cartoony. It's like sketchy like Brian Hitch. It's kind of realistic and stuff. It's great looking art. It's a great story. I'm really enjoying it. And I don't think people are giving that book a chance because he was a douche in Civil War. Basically because Mark Miller doesn't like Republicans or something.
Well, what actually stopped me from picking up that book was how late Iron Man actually was to the point where we didn't get his actual, you know, reactions to what was happening in Civil War until Civil War was almost done.
But that was because of Warren Ellis.
Yes, like exactly. The fact that they let that happen. The fact they let that happen, knowing the Civil War was going to happen. Spin Warren Ellis' stuff off into another book. Let it
like
finish.
Now with
Blasphemy in Marvel. That's a DC move.
Well, yeah. DC Marvel should learn a lot of things from DC.
Yeah, they should. Or how about this? How about this? Have a Civil War Iron Man, which is what they should have done in the first place.
The point is moot because I think everyone here agrees with that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying you should give Iron Man a try now.
Okay. Well, I probably won't.
It's a good book. It's a good book.
I might give it a shot in trade, maybe.
If any, pick up the Extremis.
Yeah, the Extremis is good. Execute Program is just as good, yeah. If not, you know, better.
Yeah, I mean, Warren Ellis' Extremis arc was really good.
It reads really well in trade. I got that in trade, like, a month ago, and it reads awesome in trade. Did you like Extremis?
I love the Extremis. I just love that crazy girl. She's nuts.
Yeah, she's nuts.
She's gone.
But she's in the Iron Man book. The Knopf brothers are taking the guy, the hippie guy that was in Extremis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Maya Hansen character, they're in Execute Program, they're in the Civil War issues, and they're there now in the Iron Man book.
She's like, you know what I should be working on? On Extremis.
Like, they didn't throw those characters away because they weren't theirs, you know. They're taking them, and they're running with them because they're established characters. Now, I know they
killed... they're good writers.
Because they're good writers, yeah. I think they're doing a bang-up job, and they're not getting the respect they deserve. So all you little fuckers out there listening... go pick up Iron Man.
He's right. Go pick it
15,
up.
15, 16, 17.
And go, you know what? It. Nova's going to fight Iron Man. Are you picking that?
In the Nova book, number 3. Or 2?
Number 2, I think.
2, okay. I got number 1.
What'd you think?
Well, we're going to do a 22 pages on it. Soon, I guess.
I'm sorry.
So save it for then.
That will be edited out?
Well, probably not. I don't know.
All right.
It was pretty good. I was impressed. I'm new to Nova, so I didn't know anything. I'll go more in-depth on that later. But yeah. So yeah, I think Iron Man is just getting a bad rap. I don't know.
Oh, God. All right, so Terry Moore, yes or no, Brent?
I don't know. I haven't read any Strangers in Paradise. I can't see.
So who do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. I mean, it kind of makes sense for Bendis to say, I'm going to jump off now because Bagley did. And that's kind of what Johns did with Tony Daniel on Teen Titans. That's kind of less... Teen Titans thing is kind of different because he had a lot of artists on that book.
Yeah.
Or two or three, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Ultimate Spider-Man, he's had one.
Mm-hmm.
One guy, you know. So I can see, like, him going that, you know, this was me in Mark's book. I'll give it a shot with Eminem, but in my heart it doesn't feel like it anymore.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think Bendis could write Ultimate Spider-Man until he dies.
Oh, sure he could, yeah.
He could go either way for me. So I hope if he... You know, if he does leave, I hope they find somebody that can do the relationship drama and the witty banter that Bendis does so well in that book.
Well,
because I think that's the place where Bendis gets to be Bendis. Irreverent and funny and talks his fucking head off.
If Terry Moore is as good as Juan makes him seem, then I'm okay with Terry Moore taking over. However, if it's not going to be Terry Moore, then I could see it being somebody like perhaps... let's see. Who is not currently doing something at Marvel that should be doing something at Marvel that's under a contract? I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Giffen?
Bing. I want Keith Giffen on Ultimate Spider-Man.
Wait a minute, is that a contract in Marvel?
Dude, he's not under contract with anybody.
Yeah, he's doing Annihilation, and he's doing the countdown breakdowns and shit.
Exactly. You know, when he's done, you know, when he's sick and tired of drawing layouts for stuff, I want him to actually start writing a regular book again. All right? I want him to do Ultimate Spider-Man.
That was awesome.
And he's doing a lot of indie stuff, too, Keith Giffen.
Oh, I know he is. I know he is. And I mean, he's got a lot of work on his plate and all that, but either get me DeMatteis or get me Giffen for Ultimate Spider-Man. I think they do a great job.
Would you like to see Daniel Way on the book?
Yeah, why not Daniel Way and Greg Land? Great job. I think we have a hit book on our hands.
Why the hell does Spider-Man look like Archie?
Archie Bunker?
Why does Spider-Man look like Peter North, Daddy?
Oh my god.
Daddy, why does Spider-Man look like Tobey Maguire? Oh, wait.
That is Spider-Man. I told you he was real.
Yay!
It's not real. It's not real. This is just a lazy artist.
All right.
How could you tell, Daddy? Because Daddy saw that in his little... in Daddy's magazine.
Oh, God.
Because Mary Jane looked exactly like Monica Mayhem.
Oh, God.
Your girlfriend's in the room, Brett. Don't
My
say
brain
he...
is gone. That's
Just
it.
Got
it's
headphones
dead.
In.
It's dead. It's absolutely gone. My brain's dead.
Okay.
Congratulations, fuckers. All right.
Any speculations?
Yes. All right. Speculation number two. World War Hulk. How does it end? Juan.
Iron Man getting ripped open like a tin can and Captain America coming back and kicking the crap out of the Hulk.
Brent.
I think World War Hulk is going to end strongly, unlike Civil War.
Yes, but how?
That's no big deal.
But how? I think they'll launch him into space again, without a spaceship.
Ooh.
They'll take him out into space and just throw him.
I think...
And wherever he ends up, he ends up.
I think
he can hold his breath until he reaches, like, the blue side of the moon.
That's true. That's true. But I think that World War Hulk ends with Hulk getting his own country. I think
Hulkamania.
Yeah, exactly. Hulkamania. Hulkamania. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Hulkamania.
Brother. No, honestly though, I mean, like, just like what happened in House of M, with also, you know, with him being like at the head, almost like in control of Australia, I could sort of see them giving him like an island nation, and having that island nation like worship the Hulk. I find that could work. Yeah.
Do you hear that? That's Toho Studios suing Marvel Comics for Monster Island.
See, here's where I'm confused. I think they've done more with the Hulk now than ever before. I don't know what they can do after it now. They've shot him into space, gave him this huge sprawling epic. They're bringing him back to beat the shit out of everybody who is in the Marvel Universe.
They gave him a bad movie. Redemption. I mean,
gave him a bad movie, right?
Redemption. He needs redemption.
So what is he going to do next? Are they going to put him back to status quo, Banner being on the run?
Grey Hulk.
It just doesn't seem logical.
Grey Hulk.
So I really don't know what they're going to do with him.
Grey Hulk. Grey Hulk. Damn it, Grey Hulk. I like the Grey Hulk.
Greg Hawk's going to be on that book a long time before they bring Peter David back with Grey Hulk.
Pooh. That sucks. Yeah, no, you could get him back on the run. Or how about this? How about this? The ultimate in... compromises from World War Hulk. How about this? They absolutely decide that that's it. We're leaving the Hulk alone. Finally,
maybe
he gets
Hulk
what he
dies.
Wants. That's literally what we do. We leave the Hulk alone. So if he causes any ruckus and all that, we just ignore and we move on.
He just destroyed half of San Antonio. You're not going to help us? I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
There is no green mass moving its way through San Antonio. Are you freaking blind? Oh my God, the Capitol is just—it's gone.
What Capitol?
This thing's wrecking it.
Maybe Reed Richards would build a tiny or a humongous hamster wheel for Hulk. Just run his ass out
in the back of the building.
And then hang an Iron Man doll in front of him so he keeps running at it.
Hulk gangrene.
Oh, God.
A negative zone.
Yeah.
Negative, you want to know what's going to happen? Yeah.
You want to know what's going to happen? The Hulk is going to develop a British accent and go into doing classical Shakespearean theater.
Doth Hulk smasheth.
No, but I can see him put him in. Yeah. Putting him in.
I am here on St. Crispin's Day.
God damn
here, I'm puny human.
Put him in the negative zone, break the prison, and then I think he could rule the negative zone and fight Annihilus.
Yeah, that's true.
The last star.
All right.
Annihilus is a little baby.
All right. Well, isn't Annihilus dead?
No, he's alive.
Yeah, no, he's alive.
Okay.
All right. Captain Marvel number one. When does it come out?
I don't care.
Who cares?
I don't care. What gets me is that he showed up in Civil War. No one said, hey, is that Captain Marvel? No one even acknowledged that he was important.
Whoa, let me get this straight. Captain Marvel was in Civil War?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't even notice.
You didn't notice it?
I didn't even notice. Wow.
He was there with Clor.
It was in one panel in number 7.
Yeah, I know, which was ridiculous. I mean, they should have had him be a major part of it, but they didn't. I mean, you could have really just, like, said fuck you to Clor and just had him be in the Clor role.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But what are you going to do? I mean, I say it's out by the summer, because at that point, people are going to have to try and remember that he even is back. So,
yeah, any later and they're not going to remember.
Oh, exactly.
Who's writing that?
Good question, actually.
Is it Paul the Destroyer Jenkins?
I hope not. Paul, it might be, though, to be honest with you.
You mean Penance Jenkins? I think Penance Jenkins. Yeah, Penance Jenkins, I think, might be writing it, but I'm not too certain on that. If he is, then I won't be picking it up. It's as simple as that. All right. What happens when Nova and Penance meet?
Nova goes.
You have a spike in your
pubes. What are you wearing?
Do you have spikes in your pee-pee?
I think so. It hurts so much.
How do you clean that?
A lot of Neosporin.
I wouldn't be surprised if Nova reacts to the point where he goes and kicks Iron Man's ass for needing his best friend to be like this.
That was his best friend?
Yeah, one of his best friends, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, they knew each other for years in New Warriors.
Okay.
Yeah, they were really, really close friends for a while.
All right, speculation. Countdown.
Ooh.
What is the big event that we're counting down to?
Darkseid. Taken over.
The reformation of a single Earth.
No, that no, that happened already.
No, it didn't. Did you read 52?
Wait. No.
We're counting down to the Megaverse.
Ooh.
Whatever that is. It was in 52. We don't know what it is, but they said it.
No spoilers, but yeah, there could be a Megaverse. But,
whatever that is. How that's different from a multiverse, who the fuck knows?
It's a series of tubes. All right, next...
vacuum tubes.
Exactly.
Okay, the next big delay on what comic? What is it going to be?
Ooh, the next big delay on a comic? I can answer this one very, very easily here. Action Comics, it's still delayed.
Other than one that hasn't been delayed already.
All-Star Batman and Robin.
It still doesn't count.
Oh.
No, it's resolicited and technically back on track.
Oh. All-Star Wonder Woman.
That is not delayed because it has not been solicited.
Yes, but once it is, it'll be delayed. I guarantee you.
Elf issues of Adam Hughes' run will be in the can.
Four. That's it. I guarantee you. All right? This dude cannot draw fast. It's taken him a year to draw one issue.
All-Star Batgirl?
No, All-Star Batgirl's going to be on time. That'll take
J.G. Jones?
J.G. Jones, mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's a good thing to ask. What's the next All-Star?
All-Star JLA. Elongated Man.
All-Star Green Arrow.
No. I don't think people would buy it.
I don't see them buying anything all-star other than Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Robin. Unless it's all-star JLA. That's it.
But we have an all-star JLA. It's called Justice.
All right. What about all-star JSA?
We have an all-star JSA. It's called JSA.
See, like the JLA and the JSAs, I don't think they'll have an all-star because they have the classifieds.
Yeah, true.
All-star Flash.
The Flash title doesn't sell by itself now. Why would the All-Star one?
Because the All-Star Flash will have Barry Allen in it.
If it is, or Mark Waid.
I think you Mark can put Mark Waid or Jeff Johns back on All-Star Flash.
We'll have Jeff Johns draw it.
That'll be the next big delay. My prediction.
He draws, dude. I mean, come on. He does.
All-Star Big Barda.
Ooh, I like that idea.
All-Star Star Girl.
All-Star Star Man.
I would buy All-Star Star Man.
All-Star Star
Jack
Girl.
Knight? I would buy it.
I think we've gone silly, so I think we're going to have to end this episode with one more thing here. All right, here we go. All right, one more speculation. This one's actually like a real speculation here, okay? What is the big mutant event for the summer?
I don't care.
You don't care? You don't care at all?
That extinction, it's another extinction agenda bite-off.
Well, who dies?
Extra endangered species.
Who dies, though? Because apparently one X-Man is going to die in X-Men 200.
Colossus.
You know it doesn't count.
Oh, not Colossus.
Cyclops.
He can't die again. No. Yeah.
Cyclops
yeah.
can't die again either. He's dead. He's been dead like four times also.
Banshee. No, he's dead.
Ooh, Rogue. There we go.
She's dying right now.
Oh, fuck.
Iceman.
Iceman could do, actually.
Angel?
Yeah. No, Angel's an angel. He's already dead. I know. Actually, I go Iceman. I really do.
Iceman seems the only plausible original X-Men left.
Yeah.
Beast.
He's already died.
Jean Grey.
Five times.
She's got to bring it back again before you kill her.
Or do you? Oh, God. We've gone silly indeed, but now, Brent, what do you think the mutant event's going to be?
Extra endangered species, I think is
maybe
the name.
They'll find a way to bring back more mutants. I don't know.
I think honestly, it's going to be
Magneto Rising.
It could be Magneto Rising. I think it's actually
no. Mr. Sinister coming back.
The restoration of Genosha.
I could see that.
Yeah. I think it's going to be the restoration of Genosha, and they find something on Genosha that's really, really dangerous.
Like what?
Like the Sentinels.
That already happened. It's Josh Whedon's Astonishing X-Men.
Ah, damn it. Oh, well. Well, no. Although, honestly, though, I do want to see the restoration of Genosha, so I want that to be a part of it. Because Genosha's way too cool.
They should just move all the X-Men to Genosha.
Okay.
Create their own country.
I'm fine with that. They call it X-Land.
Here's final speculation of the night.
Mm-hmm.
What is the next DC movie besides Batman and Dark Knight? What is the next DC property to be brought to film?
Flash. Written Flash will come out before Wonder Woman, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. Written
I'm
by.
I'm going to say Green Arrow, that Supermax thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
That might not be any good, but I'm going to say it's going to come out.
That could work. You? Juan?
Yeah, I'm going to go Flash. Goyer is really pushing for it.
Yeah. Oh,
but he's off it.
And
he's off it now.
Oh.
So it's now it's in limbo even more.
But no, it's going forward, even though he's not on it, from what I've heard. So.
Mm-hmm. And Shazam's in development.
It is, yeah. And for Marvel, the next movie that's gonna happen, Ant-Man.
Yeah, I could see it.
I really want to see that. Dude. From the makers of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz comes Ant-Man.
Okay, that I could see.
I could see.
You seen
is Sean Pegg Ant-Man?
Yeah. Yeah. He's on the project.
Simon
yeah,
Pegg
but
is Ant-Man?
Is he Ant-Man?
Oh, my God, yes.
Is he the irredeemable Ant-Man?
Yes. Oh, God,
I don't want
yes.
Ant-Man. I want the irredeemable Ant-Man.
They need the fat sidekick there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it sucks that they're not doing Adam because he would fit perfectly as the fat sidekick in Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, Panda?
Yeah, Panda.
Maybe he's doing Adam.
No, he's doing Ant-Man. It's official.
Have you seen Hot Fuzz?
It's an awesome movie, dude.
Great movie.
Juan, have you seen it?
Yep.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you like
that? That freaking priest.
It's awesome.
That is totally, totally amazing.
Okay, did you laugh when the thing blew up at the very end?
Yeah.
I did too. And nobody else in the theater laughed, but I was laughing like crazy. Because it's just out of nowhere. And then 5 years later, I was cracking up too.
I'm going to end this with one last statement. Yarg. With the rich witnesses, Nyarg.
P.I. Staker.
Don't you wonder what you said?
P.I. Staker. P.I.
Staker. Piss Taker? Is that your name? With a swan?
Yes, how tall is it? It's about 3 foot. What color? White. With an orange and black bill.
You got that swan yet?
All right. Really?
All right, gentlemen, I think we've had enough at this point. It's 1:30 in the morning. We've been on for 17 hours. I think this is about enough.
Why do you keep my eyelids open?
Exactly. Before we end this here, Brent, what's upcoming for your stuff?
BK's Bullets, episode 46, part 2, be the next one.
Wow, there have been 46 episodes of BK's Bullets already? Wow.
No. Raging Bullets.
Oh.
It's on Raging Bullets, episode 46, part 2.
You can find that at bkzbullets.com, right?
No, you can't.
Oh.
You can't find it anywhere.
Ragingbullets.com. I'm sorry.
It's exclusive to Raging Bullets.
Yes, ragingbullets.com.
Yeah.
Hey, Juan, you have a podcast, right?
Yeah, I do. Well, technically, it's not my podcast.
No, it's your podcast. Don't even lie.
All right.
That's not what I heard.
I neither confirm nor deny. I just merely speak. And I will say we have some interesting interviews coming with a current artist on a major DC book. And we have retrospectives coming up on all of 52.
Yeah.
Including a fresh perspective from someone who hasn't been reading the series up to now. And guess what? She doesn't go to Newsarama. Nothing is spoiled for her. We also have an X episode that will be numbered.
Ooh.
At one point. The Geek Debate.
Nice.
Which is a new feature that's coming up where it's just me, Danny, and Raph having a discussion about 40 minutes long.
Cool.
And we've added a new feature, the Geek Cred Challenge. So.
Oh, cool.
Which you were a part of.
Yes, exactly. I was on one of your episodes or something. I don't even remember what the hell I was talking about or anything. But anime. There you go, yeah. anime conventions, episode 4, part 2. I didn't even know it was out, but it's out, so yay.
So, Ian, what's next on Comic Timing?
Yes,
well,
Twitter.
Brent, I'm glad you asked. Hey. Let's give the website to Geeks Unite before we actually go on.
Okay, the website for Geeks Unite is freewebs.com/comicgeeksunite. Geeks Unite podcast at myspace.com, at comicspace.com. You could go ahead and leave Ian and Geeks Unite an iTunes music store review.
Yay.
Helps us get listeners.
Yay.
And you could also be our friend on Facebook.
I love how you're doing the ending to Geeks Unite right now. I mean, it's like
wanted the website.
Yeah, no, geeksunite.libsyn.com, dude. That's all you had to say. But I mean, you go all the way around the book.
Sorry, I've been conditioned.
Raph does all that shit. Not
geeksunite.libsyn.com, dude.
Have you heard the end of the episode?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah. Right. He turns to you. Because you are his right and left hand man. Yeah, exactly.
See, me and Brent, we had it. I walked the line.
All right, so here's what's upcoming on Comic Timing. All right, we got some good stuff coming up. We got the religion episode. That's coming up. Probably going to be recording it on Thursday of next week. And that'll be Titans Together, Geek Pastor, and some other people probably. And possibly next week, if not the week after, we're going to have Nova number 1. The 22 pages being recorded. Equinox is going to be joining us for that, and
awesome.
Other people as well, and possibly not.
Just for that, come on.
I don't know, and one episode where Brent is not going to be on,
yep.
Because it's going to be just the three of us. Because we have to make this the way it was. We have John Mayo, David D, and myself discussing the second half of 52. and Countdown number one.
Have at it.
For 743 hours, we will be discussing it. It's going to be damn good, and we're recording it, I believe, the Tuesday after Countdown number one comes out. That's when we're going to first actually record it. So it's going
to
be.
You want to know what's going to happen? Brent is going to challenge David D to fisticuffs.
Oh, no. Snap.
Have at you, Dave.
Nah, I can stay out of that one.
Yeah. But, yeah, he'll just be talking about like stuff over and over and over again. So, you know, it's good. It's good stuff. But plenty of great stuff coming up on Comic Timing. And if you like this, you know, absolutely nothing episode with barely any edits, let me know so I can edit less. But Brent, always a pleasure, dude. And Juan, thanks for joining me without your, you know, second hand. So, rock on.
I have second hand?
Yeah, it's Raph.
Dude. I'm so freaking out.
At this point, Raph is an hour and 34 minutes into Spider-Man 3.
A two-hour movie.
So at this point, Venom hasn't quite appeared yet.
Sandman! Screaming.
Oh, that's Enter Sandman. I'm sorry, but...
Aunt May dies!
Whoa, dude!
No, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Screaming out random things.
Yeah.
Wow! I can't believe that happened!
Holy cow! Did you see that? Sparta!
And then
he's gonna walk out of the theater. That was a great Watchmen trailer.
And then, of course, Teeth Man was like... Wow, what a great ending to the show. All right, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at cgspodcast.com/forum. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please dig us on dig.com. That'd be graciously appreciated. And please vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and on the main page. And send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Graciously appreciated. And that's pretty much it. So for Juan and for Brent, I'm Ian Levesey. Reminding everybody, there's always time for comics. And my God, this episode's over. Yay.
Vengeance!
Good night, people.
I haven't seen this, why I was asking.
Badoots.
Badoot what?
Badoots. That was awesome. Bless her.
I say bless you.
You gotta leave that in. I'm sorry. Just what's a hat?
I thought you were saying bless her to the fact that Tara's heart got ripped out.
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm done. Yeah, we're almost done.
Oh, whoops. I thought I muted it.
You did.
Whoops.
It's okay, take your time.
All right, take your time. Yeah. You can go on till 2:30. You heard her.
Woohoo. It's totally awesome.
All right.
I see dead people.
No, that's not that people, it's just Raph.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. I'd actually like to see him kill me, apparently.
What the fuck? It's really disappointing.
Did I just hear you call my listeners fuckers?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was talking to Juan.
Oh. Well, then why'd you say all you fuckers?
Because I'm a big guy.
Oh, all right, that's fine.
Oh wow, it's late.
That was awkward.
Awkward.
Yeah, Juan, all you little fuckers, Juan, if you have a problem with me, you can come see me, okay?
Or you could go ahead and reach him on the CGS forum at Raketaker at CGS Podcast Forum 2.
Yes, yep. Or you can listen to him on the Geeks Unite podcast, right?
No, don't say I'm on that podcast.
No, Brent is on the Geeks Unite podcast.
Exactly. And the Bill's Longbox podcast. Making a guest appearance there next week.
But he's a right guest on just Bill. Good night, my man.
See you, fuckers.
Whoa, dude.
I was talking to Juan.
Well, Juan, you have a new nickname now. It's Fuckers.
Fuckers. Juan Fuckers.
In the plural.
Did you hear the intro to episode? No, you haven't heard it. Brent heard it. where he was like, "Did we say you reject this theater or what?" Not. I'm like, could I go back to Juan tossing a nut? I like that whole Juan tossing a nut to Jesus.
Can you just be Juan Jesus?
No, it's, I need that off. In there, the Juan.
Dude. Just, your nickname is Juan de Jesus Christ.
My name in English is Juan Albert of Jesus. My name is an entire string of first names. I'm like Ricky Bobby here.
Ricky Bobby. I accidentally clicked on Weave Conference.
I figured you did, because Matt was still there, and you were gone.
Of course. Because I'm still used to hosting a call.
You're dropping out one fucking person, not yourself.
I know this. My hands don't.
So Juan and I were talking last week.
Yeah.
And I was telling him, you know, I host all these calls with the fast internet here. Uh-huh. And I'm still relegated to just a frequent returning guest like Tom Caters, you know.
Oh.
And Juan told me that what he did to Raph was is he threatened to fill it with coughs and burps and beeps and stuff to make editing harder if he didn't make him a co-host.
But the problem is that would make our show better. So, I mean, I'm perfectly okay with that. I mean, we could have the Burp Belching podcast. That would just be another episode of the, you know, Just Built podcast.
Uh-oh. Get Flamer, we've got a Flamer here. Oh, my God. Get Carlson Presley on the line now. Don't get the fire hose.